go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running for this Friday on the front porch, following the Horniversary on the front porch. It's the 25th day of October 2019. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tube. That's where we have all kinds of fun things, like access to the podcasts and, goodness me, access to the chat room as well. Just go over there. If you've already wandered into the chat room from time to time, you probably already got a screen name and a password. But if you don't, pick one out, jump right in, be greeted by Anatole and Squeaky, the two early arrivers to the chat room. More will be arriving shortly. And you'll be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has folded space to become Man Cave on an 89-degree day there in Northern California with mercifully calm winds. And ably assisted by his trusty sidekick, pinch-hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all-around great guy, Steve from Georgia Stand. Hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. It is Friday on the Front Porch. If you would like to participate in the Friday on the Front Porch conversation, just go over to headon.live, and that is also where you will find a link to jump into the Skype group that Sparky creates for every Front Porch. And when you do that, well, it'll take you right where you want to be, okay? If you absolutely cannot use Skype, if Skype is just way too difficult, or maybe a device that isn't friendly with it, well, you can always use the stress line, and that number, of course, is 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Kindly provided through the good offices of Brother Deacon Asa, who also keeps all the packets passing and everything over at headon.live. Okay? And every program here begins with gratitude. This program is no different. This evening's program is no different. We have subscribers for the 25th day of the month. Those subscribers are our buddy James in Spain and Kay. Thank you to Kay. Thank you to Mark, and thank you to Lady B for jumping in this evening. Thank you very much indeed. And so here we are beginning year, well, did we begin year 15 yesterday or year 15 today? Well, we marked the Horniversary by noting the existence of the Kincaid Fire. That's kind of a ignominious Horniversary, but today, this Friday on the front porch, has been just jam-packed and chock-a-block, but scant, well, within the hour before beginning this program, news came in from the D.C., District of Columbia District Court. And it's important news. It's pretty big news. Namely, that the United States District Court for the District of Columbia and its chief judge, having heard arguments, and not very good ones, really, when it comes to the arguments presented by the Maggot administration, entered an order The order that they entered, and this is a big deal, that the court ordered, under the signature of Chief Judge Beryl A. Howell. Sorry about the mic noise there. I have to lean in to see. Order granting the application of the Committee on the Judiciary, U.S. House of Representatives. Upon consideration of the in re application of the Committee on the Judiciary, U.S. House of Representatives, for an order authorizing the release of certain grand jury materials. Upon consideration of the application of the Committee on the Judiciary, HJC hereinafter, the U.S. House of Representatives, for an order authorizing the release of certain grand jury materials, ECF number 1, the memoranda and declarations with exhibits in support and opposition thereto, including the memoranda of Amici Curiae Constitutional Accessibility Center, or Constitutional Accountability Center, and U.S. House of Representatives, U.S. House of Representative Doug Collins, HJC's ranking member. The arguments presented at the hearing on October 8th, 2019, and the entire record herein, for the reasons stated in the accompanying memorandum opinion granting the application of the Committee on the Judiciary, U.S. House of Representatives, it is hereby ordered that HJC's application is granted, and it is further ordered that by October 30th, 2019, the Department of Justice must disclose to the House Judiciary Committee, 1, all portions of Special Counsel Robert S. Mueller III's report on the investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election, otherwise known as the Mueller Report, that were redacted pursuant to Federal Rule of Criminal Procedure 6C, and 2, any underlying transcripts or exhibits referenced in the portions of the Mueller Report that were redacted pursuant to Rule 6C, and it is further ordered that following review and assessment of the disclosed grand jury material set out in 1 and 2 above, HJC may submit further requests articulating particularized need for disclosure of additional grand jury material requested in the application, so ordered, dated October 25th, 2019, this is a final and appealable order. Beryl A. Howell, Chief Judge. That there is what you call a big deal. It's also something that can be referred to as a win. Or if you're Doug Collins of Georgia and the maggots in the House of Representatives, that's called so much losing. So with the date, with a disclosure date, a delivery date of October 30th, which would be the upcoming prayer meeting Wednesday. Yes. Had to do some ciphering real quick. That'll be this coming Wednesday because today is the 25th. 26th, yep, 30th, Wednesday. The deacons will be taking their leisure again that evening. So, well, don't mark your calendars because the MAGA administration isn't going to follow this court order either. Because they are a lawless criminal enterprise. Instead, since this order is appealable, they will appeal between now and the 30th and probably on the 30th so as to not have to disclose the ordered materials and to have it stretch out another couple of months with arguments in front of the D.C. Circuit, at which point they'll lose again and argue it to the Supreme Court of the United States, where it will become coin toss time. And the only question being, will old Balls and Strikes Roberts side with the Constitution, with civil governance, with civil society, with precedent, with the doctrine of stare decisis that supposedly animates and motivates the Supreme Court of the United States, or will he side with the maggots? You know, Brett Kavanaugh, who was only put on that court because he feels like the president is always above the law and is in fact an absolute monarch. Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, who has a preference for letting African-American truck drivers freeze to death. Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas. And yes, Sammy Bad Breath Alito. It's possible the Supreme Court may not even take the case, in which case the ruling below will stand, which will likely be an order that, yeah, you got to turn that shit over. And the order is applicable to the Attorney General of the United States, Bill Barr, to prosecution. Jim asking, could this be the end of the beginning, maybe? I think we passed that. I think we passed the end of the beginning with the formal announcement of an impeachment inquiry. But let's be clear about this. There's a reason that a portrait of one of the most vicious slavers ever to occupy the White House, namely Andrew Jackson, also a genocidalist, there's a reason that his portrait hangs in the maggot Oval Office. And that is because he, too, had a lawless streak. He was ordered not to commit genocide against the indigenous peoples of the Southeast by none other than Chief Justice John Marshall. And Andrew Jackson responded, "Justice Marshall has issued his order. Now let him enforce it." Because Jackson knew that he had a compliant Congress that would not call him to account for stealing Indian land and sending the aforementioned indigenous people themselves on a genocidal march, a death march. You know, like we talk about in World War II, the Bataan Death March. Unless my geography's way off, the Trail of Tears death march was a lot longer and a lot more deadly. And that was Andrew Jackson's doing. So I fully expect that whenever this thing does get to a point of absolute resolution, Bill Barr will nonetheless thumb his nose at the Supreme Court of the United States, if the Supreme Court has dared to disagree with Bill Barr to prosecution. Or barring that, maybe he'll just tell the world that the dog ate it. Can't find it. I got all wet when he was washing his hair. This is a lawless administration. Or perhaps more appropriately, we should say they consider themselves a law unto themselves. I saw a tweet earlier today in which someone compared Bill Barr to John N. Mitchell, Richard Nixon's attorney general, who was sentenced to prison and served all of 19 months at Club Fed, in particular Maxwell Air Force Base down near Montgomery, Alabama. And saying that something similar would soon be the fate of Bill Barr to prosecution. I have a sneaking suspicion that Bill Barr to prosecution makes John Mitchell look like a choir boy. Here's the problem, though. The only reason John Mitchell went to prison is because there was a special prosecutor, the Watergate special prosecutor team. And they were the ones who secured the indictments of a sitting United States Attorney General. I probably don't need to point out that there is no similar individual in the instant matter. And Bill Barr, the prosecution, is not going to investigate himself. And if Bill Barr, the prosecution, did investigate himself, Bill Barr, the prosecution, would find a maggot lawyer in the DOJ who would say, mercy sakes, Bill Barr is so clean and pure, he makes Mother Mary look like a harlot. Because in the aftermath of both Nixon's resignation and Clinton's impeachment, Republicans looked up and said, wait a minute. We can't ever let that shit happen again. We're not just going to have special prosecutors roaming the land. I mean, they got perilously close to having people drop the dime on George H.W. Bush. And only the intervention of, wait for it, a much younger version of Bill Barr to prosecution made it possible for that not to happen. Because Bill Barr to prosecution looked at George H.W. Bush and said, there's an easy enough solution to this, Mr. President. You're a Republican. It's okay if you're a Republican. IOKIYAR. In for a penny, in for the pound, in for the pound. Just pardon the lot of them, and it'll all go away, and nobody will ever tell anything about how up to your patrician eyebrows you were in the Iran-Contra debacle, the Iran-Contra assault on our Constitution. And you know what? That's exactly what George H.W. Bush did. And Iran-Contra went away. It disappeared as if it had never existed. And Dorothy woke up on her bed in Kansas and said, why, you were there, Cap Weinberger, and you were there, Manushar Gurbanifar, and you were there, George H.W. Bush, and you were there, Ronnie Reagan. So Bill Barr is probably not going to prison. Unless, of course, we can eject Donald Trump from the White House by either conviction in the Senate on articles of impeachment or by beating him at the ballot box. Now, if that were to happen and a Democratic president would come in who would not give us that tired old bullshit line of, it's time to look forward and not back, and would let a competent attorney general clean up this filthy rat's nest, this stinking buzzard's roost of an administration, an attorney general with, say, a big old bat in his or her, a meat axe in his or her hands, to just lay waste about him or herself and prosecute everything that's come out of this miserable, misbegotten maladministration, well, then maybe Bill Barr, the prosecution, who perjured himself in his own confirmation hearings, then perhaps Bill Barr might be forced to contemplate how he looks in blaze orange and what size plastic blaze orange shower shoe he wears. But that's still kind of a long shot. Keith with a note. The courts have ordered and ordered. This group of asshats just says no. How will the orders be enforced? If you send people in to get the materials, then it really would look like a takeover, and the maggots would go crazy. The orange bastard has got to go. And I could not agree more. And right now, the best chance of doing that happens at the ballot box. Although it looks like maybe there are beginning to be some cracks in the ranks or some cranks in the racks. Because Precious Lindsey Graham crept timorously out from under the fainting couch down at the old ancestral estate of Smoldering Chode and offered up a resolution in the Senate of the new 90 states of America. A full-throated, as it were, resolution, swearing up and down that Donald J. Trump was as near to being like Jesus as any human being recently borned here in the new 90 states of America. There's only one problem. In a Senate that is notorious for putting on its knee pads and bowing down and scraping before Donald Trump, 7 GOP senators took a powder on signing Precious Lindsey's little old resolution. And so, let's see who didn't sign. Let me search my memory. Bishop Willard Romney didn't sign. Noted moderate from Maine, Susan Collins, didn't sign. Cory Gardner, who still thinks he'd like to be a senator from Colorado, didn't sign. Like I said, 7 who didn't sign. And you know who else didn't sign? And this is a real bad sign, at least if you're nitwit Nero. Ever loyal Joe Manchin did not sign. You see, most everybody expected that all the other Democrats and independents would stand together, but that Joe Manchin, being Joe Manchin, and having all the loyalty of Marcus Junius Brutus, would jump on to Lindsey's little old resolution. But nope, he didn't. He could not get one single Democrat, and he couldn't even get his entire caucus. That says something. And what it says is something that Donald J. Trump doesn't want to think about. So if you could actually count Joe Manchin in, then they need... I'd say to be comfortable, 10 more senators. What was the occasion for Lindsey's deep-throated resolution, Bob, asks Brother Deacon Asa. Expiring minds want to know. Well, he was sent out doing the bidding of his master, to offer up an anti-impeachment resolution that said, goodness me, my stars and garters, there is something so wrong with this here process. Now, I was involved with the impeachment of Bill Clinton, and we had a shit ton of hearings in private, but he was a Democrat, and the blessed God Emperor Donald Trump, he's a Republican, and we all know how KIYA. Now, y'all get over here, and we all got to stand together here at the Cotillion and the barbecue down at 12 Oaks and tell Donald John Trump how much we love him. It was probably better not done than done like this. Because it displayed, as did the House vote about the betrayal of the Kurds, fairly serious cracks in Trump's armor. David Frum, who worked for George W. Bush, remember, so take that for what it's worth, said, if the Senate were to vote 54 to 46 for removal, then yes, Trump stays on the job, but wow, will he be disgraced and damaged. And of course, if the count is 54 to 46, goodbye to any hope of wrapping up the proceedings in an afternoon. Moreover, if reliable pro-Trump caucus has already shriveled to 46, and if that 46 includes senators like Burr and that new and different kind of Republican, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and Pat Toomey, whom Trump can't count upon in a clinch, then things look really, really dark for Donald Trump. Ron and Raleigh saying, let me divine. I've been reading the signs in goat entrails, and I see in the future, and the signs and portents told me that, as in most cases, nothing will happen to these criminal sumbitches, and they will die peacefully in their own beds sooner rather than later. Our justice system does not apply to the high and mighty. Really? You had to get your hands in goat guts to figure that one out, Ron? Because I could have told you and saved you the livestock price. Shit, I'll bet you any self-respecting bookie wouldn't have given you even odds of... But I get your point. Jim says, Miss Thang is you for real, ma'am, for sure. So that's, you know, that's just part of the part, and we got a laundry list. And hopefully we'll get into it later during the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable portion of the program as well. But there's one more thing to add to what I was saying about the Supreme Court a little bit ago. And it has to do with a member of the Supreme Court. There is video that has gone viral, and I wonder if those analysts down there at John C. Calhoun's former slave plantation in South Carolina, I'm talking about Clemson, I wonder if those data analysts think this was catapulted by the Russians, too. Attorney Stuart Chandler has released a video, and Stuart Chandler is counsel for the father of a young man by the name of Isaiah Marietta Golden. The video, well, the city of Fresno tried desperately to prevent the video from getting out. But it was made public. And what it shows is a boy, a 16-year-old boy, Isaiah Murrieta Golding, running away from police. He gets about a 35-foot lead ahead of these Fresno PD officers. And at 35 feet distance, doing his best to get as far away from the police as he could, Fresno Police Department Sergeant Ray Villalvazo drew his service weapon and shot the boy in the back of the head. And it all happens on video. I do not commend it to anyone. I've seen it. I do not care to ever see it again. It is enough to know that a police sergeant, Ray Villalvazo, shot a 16-year-old unarmed boy in the back of the head at 35 feet. As the boy lay bleeding on the ground, the police caught up with him. And I kid you not, handcuffed him. Lawyer Chandler said he's unconscious and in the process of dying. What is the threat? They just saw him as an animal who had been shot. They hunted a target. It's inhumane. He runs away. He jumps a fence. He falls to the ground, gets up, and continues to run. The video is not being received well, because among other things, as police departments always do, they claimed that the officer was in fear for his life from a young boy running away from them as fast as he possibly could. But just not fast enough. Jamel Bowie at the New York Times said this was an execution. Another individual described it as stone cold murder. Which it, depending on if it ever gets to a grand jury, may turn out to be. Julian Castro offered up a statement saying, "We have to reform our policing system to end the shoot first, ask questions later mentality that ends far too many black and brown lives. The fact that these officers weren't held accountable is shameful and more evidence that the system is broken." Now, why in the midst of a discussion about the Supreme Court and who might vote which way would I insert this horrifying piece of vicious police brutality into the discussion? Well, I just got an email from Ron in Raleigh who nailed it. Subject line: "And Justice Alito says that's okay. Shoot him in the back, Gomez. Shoot him in the back." Because, you see, we knew as far back as when Sammy Bad Breath Alito was sitting there in his confirmation hearing with his wife dressed in a suit made from the upholstery of a 57 Edsel, and weeping because people were being mean to her precious little Sammy hubby. We knew how he felt and probably still feels about vicious cops who blow away kids running away from them. Because, you see, Sammy Bad Breath Alito authored an opinion when he was on the Second United States Circuit Court of Appeals that said, well, hail! As long as the officer repeats the sacred charm words, I was a-fearing for my life, you can shoot the black or brown kid in the back of the head at 30 feet away when he's trying to climb a fence and get away from you, and that's cool by me. This is the moral repugnance that finds its way onto the Supreme Court of the United States when Republican presidents get to make the appointments. Oh, I'm sure Sammy Bad Breath had an A++ good rating from the Federalist Society. Because they're okay with that kind of shit. Jesus. So any analysis, even right down to whether or not to grant cert in the case of this instant order arising from the D.C. District Court running through the D.C. Circuit and up to SCOTUS, well, it's kind of going to necessarily turn on how old Balls and Strikes John Roberts feels about 16-year-old boys who run from police. And we must remember that old Balls and Strikes Roberts declared in the not-too-distant past that there was no such thing as racism in Merca anymore. So he is far more likely to be an ideological pal to the side that Sammy Bad Breath lands on than that of people who think that there's some inherent right of 16-year-old boys to become 17-year-old boys, even if they run away from the police. By God, it makes you want to cue up Lee Greenwood and I'm proud to be an American. Well, I mean, the 16-year-old boy isn't. He's too busy being killed, murdered by the police. Yeah, Jim, it is. This is cold-blooded murder. How can you be afraid for your life when the kid is running away from you and is 35 feet away and you've got a gun and he doesn't and you're a full-grown man and he isn't? It's not like he was a member of the Parthian cavalry and was turning around shooting arrows at them. I guess there's a chance that the city of Fresno will settle now that they've been stone cold busted, more or less trying to cover this up. But rest assured, if it gets to the Supreme Court, well, I can tell you how that case is going to go down. At least if Sammy Bad Breath has anything to do with it. And old Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, stomping on the rungs of the ladder below him for all he's worth. And Ann's boy Neil and Brat Kavanaugh. Yep, you can shoot the brown kid. Some brown kids just need shooting. God, it makes me sick. But still, there will be conniptions being had this evening over in the Trump house. And again, that's the tip of the evening's iceberg. I offer you, for your delectation, the words of, yes, Donald J. Trump, giving life to all those anxieties, petty jealousies, fears, and hatreds when asked a question about, well, his dear, dear friend, Rudy Giuliani.
You were not concerned about the growing criminal investigation into Rudy Giuliani?
I don't think so, because I think Rudy is a great gentleman. He's been a great crime fighter. He looks for corruption wherever he goes. Everybody understands Ukraine has big problems.
The goddess of irony owns him. Of course Rudy Giuliani looks for corruption wherever he goes, so he can get a piece of the action. So he can wet his beak. Because that happened on the same day that this happened. For reasons passing understanding, late night on October the 16th, 2019, Rudy Giuliani apparently butt-dialed Rich Shapiro. Rich Shapiro is a reporter for NBC News. Now, he and Shapiro had spoken earlier in the evening, according to NBC's reporting, to talk about some Iranian opposition group. Here's the problem. It was not a call Rudy meant to make, because it was 7 minutes past 11 p.m. The reporter was sound asleep, counting typewriters leaping over editors in some pastoral green field somewhere. But the next morning, when Rich Shapiro woke up, he discovered that, well, he had a voicemail from Rudy Giuliani. Yeah. But apparently it was a voicemail that Rudy really didn't intend to send. I guess there will be complaints soon that it was unfair and there's something wrong with the process by which Rudy Giuliani, for all we know, half in the bag. And we don't know necessarily who he's talking to. Accidentally left a voicemail for Rich Shapiro.
You know, Charles would have a hard time with a fraud case because he didn't do any due diligence. Tomorrow, I got to get you to get on Bahrain. You got to call. You got to call Robert again tomorrow. It's Robert around. The problem is...
Okay, that might have been hard to hear. Is Robert around? And the answer comes back faintly. Rob, he's in Turkey. Oop! Well, this one's a couple of years ago. This was... let's see, 9 days ago.
We need some money. made us $200,000. Okay.
Rudy Giuliani wants to shake down the Bahrainis for $100,000. But the guy on the other line says, yeah, I don't know how good that relationship is.
Yeah, okay. So maybe give me options.
Yeah, give me options. Can we say that's kind of weird? Because it's real weird. But it went on. Let's check here.
Butt dialed in.
That's Ali Velshi. And he's in Turkey, and we need $100,000, and will the Bahrainis pony it up? That wasn't all.
Joe Biden, business in Bahrain, and his need for cash. Joining me now is the reporter I told you about, Rich Shapiro. And Rich, gonna give everybody a look at your face because it's
no, he's trying. Rich Shapiro is trying not to just bust out laughing. He's got a smirk on his face that's undeniable, and I can't really blame him for it. But whoever this was he was talking to understood what Rudy's position was. And remember, Nitwit Nero said, Rudy looks for corruption wherever he goes, whether he's got a buddy and whether Rob's in Turkey or whether they're trying to shake down the Bahrainis for $100,000 or isn't that small potatoes? I mean, not to me, not to you. You gotta dream big, Rudy. And then gets around to saying that is Robert around? Is Robert Mangus, and he's at Greenberg Traurig LLP. He's a registered agent of the Turkish government, kind of like, the first national security advisor, Michael Flynn, was, only he didn't register, and now he's looking at prison time. And Robert Mangus was actively involved in the attempt to get the heat off of an Iranian-Turkish gold bug who got busted laundering Iranian money. That was also discussed, you might recall, back when Precious Lindsay was hoodooed into thinking he was talking to the defense minister of Turkey when he was talking to the Morning Zoo crew from Moscow 97.5, the Putsch. Nah, I mean, Moscow 97.5, the Dasha. Moscow 97.5, the Gulag. And so eventually, they got around to talking about the Bidens. He claims that Biden tried to stop an investigation of the Ukrainian gas company, Burisma, because Hunter sat on the board, when in fact they were actually trying to get Burisma investigated. Giuliani says, there's plenty more to come out. He did the same thing in China, and he tried to do it in Kazakhstan and in Russia. It's a sad situation. You know how they get it? You know how they get. Biden's been trading on his public office since he was a senator. When he became vice president, the kid decided to go around the world and say, hire me, because I'm Joe Biden's son, and most people wouldn't hire him because he had a drug problem. His son altogether made somewhere between $5 and $8 million. A $3 million transaction was laundered, which is illegal. There's only one problem. None of it happened. Oh, Rudy, Rudy, Rudy.
And Rudy looks for corruption wherever he goes.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does, Nitwit Nero. He squirtingly does. And, of course, today was the funeral of Representative Elijah Cummings. Naturally, Nitwit Nero did not show up. He doesn't have that kind of class. Or maybe he just wasn't welcome like at the funeral of John McCain. But he got scorched. He got scorched by Barack Obama. And then he got scorched by Hillary Clinton. If you're familiar with, like, prayer meeting Wednesday, you know that over the last year or so, couple of years, going back to the 2016 election, one of the favorite things of these white-wing evangelical assholes has been to compare Hillary Clinton to Jezebel in the Old Testament. And whether it's Rick Wiles or Jesse Lee Peterson or E.W. Jackson, that's how Flush Flimball, a professional broadcaster, pronounces Jackson whenever he's talking about Jesse. They talk about, and you can catch it over there in between segments where Jim Baker's hawking bucket pudding. They talk about the country is infused by a Jezebel spirit. And they do that because if you go and read the story of Jezebel and her husband King Ahab, Jezebel does not come off real well in the Old Testament, but frankly, there aren't very many women who do. Once you get past Ruth and Esther, you're pretty well done. I mean, the damn thing starts off with Eve catching all the hell. But they reference Jezebel because Jezebel met, according to the Old Testament, a horrifying end. Brutal. I mean, she was, just look it up for yourself. And so apparently, the woman who actually won the election in 2016 has been made aware of some of this, because otherwise, why not? And she took the opportunity of the memorial service for Elijah Cummings, his funeral, to stick the barb right in the soft and tender part of Chlamydia Claudius.
It is no coincidence, is it, that Elijah Cummings shared a name with an Old Testament prophet whose name meant in Hebrew, "The Lord is my God," and who used the power and the wisdom that God gave him to uphold the moral law that all people are subject to, and because of, all people are equal. Like the prophet, our Elijah could call down fire from heaven but he also prayed and worked for healing. He weathered storms and earthquakes, but never lost his faith. Like that Old Testament prophet, he stood against corrupt leadership of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel.
And listen to the crowd.
And he looked out for the vulnerable among us. He lifted up the next generation of leaders. He even worked a few miracles.
Now, one more note about Jezebel. Okay, two more notes about Jezebel. Come the holiday season down south, there's a lovely condiment that's a combination of pineapple preserves and apple jelly and horseradish and black pepper and a couple of other things that you melt it all together, and then you put it in jars and give it out, and you serve it on toast or wheat thins or whatever with a little smear of cream cheese. And it's called Jezebel because it's sweet and it's hot. Oh, the mustard powder. There's mustard powder, too. That really doesn't have anything to do with this. But the other thing about Jezebel does. Jezebel was despised by Elijah and by the people who followed good old Yahweh, the great big bearded juvenile delinquent in the sky. And good old Yahweh despised Jezebel because she was a foreign-born princess and a sexually licentious harlot. This might be the point in the program where I remind us all that the present First Lady is the only First Lady in the entire history of this still relatively young nation to have ever removed her clothing so that men she had never met could draw sexual gratification, sexual satisfaction from observing her nakedness. And she did it all in exchange for money. Now, whatever you want to say about how she got here or what she did or however many languages she... Melanoma Trump, Melanoma Naus, nay Naus, now Trump, that much is absolutely factually true, and you could publish it on the front page of the New York Times or the Washington Post, and she could scream, I'll sue, until hell freezes over, but the lawsuit would not lie. Because the truth is an absolute
defense against a claim of defamation. And she did indeed, in exchange for money, remove her clothing to be photographed for the sexual gratification of people whom she did not even know. Jezebel. I gotta give props to Hillary Clinton for that, because probably beginning 3-4 hours ago, and it will continue through the weekend, probably on the Sunday news shows, and well into next week, I would be surprised if by prayer meeting Wednesday, we don't have several clips of people like Rick Wiles and Jesse Lee Peterson and E.W. Jackson and Jim Baker and firefighter prophet Mark Taylor having kittens with crocheted tails over our beloved First Lady Melania Trump being compared to that harlot Jezebel, even though the shoe sort of fits. No, it doesn't sort of fit. It fits perfectly. I mean, it's Cinderella being delivered the glass slipper the day after the ball fits. So we've got that going for us. That all having been said, we've reached the end of the first hour. Here endeth the filibobster. And let's check in with Sparky over in the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, wherein we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. And a reminder, if you'd like to participate, well, by Jove, jump right in. Just go to headon.live and use the link that's posted at the top of the page there, and it'll carry you right into Friday on the front porch. If you can't hack that, we do have the stress line for you, 844-843-4676, 844-THE-HORN. Odoki? Cool. Hey, Sparky.
Hello. Oh.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going.
When do you lose
this
power?
This damn power outage. They called today. Well, I was out, and Judy said they called and said 6 p.m. tomorrow.
For how long?
Right? No. She said be without for 5 days. And I'm going, geez. You look around, there's no wind at all today. Well, it's going to change that much.
Well, so do you have like a bunch of really good quality coolers that you can save what's in your fridge and freezer with?
No, I don't need to. I got a dinner.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah, you've already got that fixed and set up and ready to go.
Well, I just got to do a little bit of magic in the electrical.
Well, okay. Well, I mean, one other thing, though, not to get all nosy. How big's your generator? And do you know what?
4,700 watts.
So, do you know what its rate of fuel consumption is?
No, I don't. But I'm going to find out. I've got a full tank. Right now, I got 3 5-gallon cans and a full propane bottle. We won't run it all the time.
Yeah.
Just enough to keep the refrigerator.
I mean, I only ask because I wonder, with power out, will the local gas stations be able to pump gas if you need it?
Nope.
That's a little creepy.
Duncan, I'm not trying to jump in your business, but you may want to have PG&E inspect that in case something was to go haywire. You'll be able to file a claim without being denied or anything.
What are you talking about, Steve?
I'm talking about your homeowners. I don't want to see your house get torched and then you have no recourse. If you start DIY in what you're doing, and I respect that.
Hey, I'm an electrician. I'm an electrician.
Okay. Are you licensed?
I know what to do.
Are you? Don't get combative. Are you licensed and everything?
I was licensed.
Yeah, but was don't
I
count.
I was licensed.
Bro. I just don't. I'm just trying to look out for you.
See, this is the intersection. This is the intersection of Steve's expertise in the insurance gig and Sparky's expertise in electricity.
Duncan's a very good friend. I love him, man. I don't want to see him without, you know, this house gets torched.
Well, and what's your? Well, it's that. A, that's not going to happen. But B,
gonna get.
It's probably not going to happen, but you know, anything could happen.
Sparky, do you know what Steve's getting at? Insurance companies have armies of lawyers whose only purpose in life is to say three words:
claim denied.
We don't pay.
That's right.
Well, I know that when we had a flood, because we didn't have flood insurance. But I'm not worried about it, Steve. I know how to control it. I know, and I've got an amp probe that I can read the load, see what's going on. I can turn off stuff that I don't need to be running.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think back to the derecho, because our generator is about the same size as yours, and I think it had. I'm not sure if it's a 5 or an 8 gallon tank. No, 5 gallon tank, and it would last with not a lot of load on it for about 8 hours, if I recall correctly.
Yeah, well, this is a four gallon tank, and like I say, I'm not going to be running it 24 hours a day. You just have to turn it on and run it once in a while, just to keep your refrigerators good.
All right, Sturgis, I'm concerned.
And yeah, you might want a little light at night, something like that.
Yep. Well, we got these flashlights that are just dynamite for that.
Yeah, the LEDs will run forever on fairly new batteries.
So I've talked about it before. It's a Milwaukee LED flashlight that has a rechargeable battery on it. It's an M12 battery that goes in it, and I got several tools that take them besides the flashlights, so I've got several extra batteries, and I'll be able to recharge them with the generator, so we're not going to be out too much.
Well, I hope you're not out at all. Hopefully it'll be a non-issue.
Now, what about water? Are you on city water?
No, I've got a well. The generator will run the pump.
Well, it sounds like you've done everything one human being could possibly do.
Yeah, I'm gonna fill up some other things with water just in case.
So you're out in the man cave, right? Is that your fan, or is it just wind? No. You said it wasn't windy.
No, it's hot.
Yeah.
It was 89 degrees today.
So it sounds
like you're in a wind tunnel.
There, is that better?
Yeah.
I think a billion percent. Now.
I forgot it was running. But the west side of the man cave is all metal, and it heats up and it radiates in the afternoon.
Oh, that's it. Yeah, infrared heat. So
it's 85 degrees in here.
Ouch. That sounds like the studio here in August.
But it's a dry heat.
Yeah, go to hell, Steve.
Half a cowbell, Bob? Come on.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, you get a jingle.
I'll even give you one of mine.
You guys are the best.
But it's an egg frying heat.
It's an egg frying heat.
No. It's got to be up to about 110 before you can fry an egg on the concrete. Really good. But it never got up that hot.
I was going to say, sunny side up or over easy?
Well, if you grease the concrete, you should be able to turn it. I did it once when I was a kid because it used to get that hot in Willows, where I was born. It's just 49 miles away from here.
Oh, and by the way, I did hear back from Tracy. And the fire did not get near her and Jan's home, and so she and the whole family are fine. But she said the air quality sucks.
Unless you got a wind to push it out to sea.
So I'm glad to have heard that. But it made me wonder. You know, we know how bad those particulates are. Almost makes you think you ought to, at least, you know, if you're near anywhere that's going to catch fire, you ought to maybe have some face masks with filtration sufficient to filter at least down to PM 2.5. Because that stuff will make you sick.
Yeah. I know it will. I've been there and done.
Yeah, there's no telling what the hell you're huffing either. No telling at all.
And Tracy, by the way, everything's ready to roll for the party. The fire's 80% contained. And at the moment, Tracy's working on the chili for the party. There's going to be chicken chili, beef chili, and veggie chili.
Well, hello, Tracy.
So, yummy. I'd sign on for the vegetarian chili.
Yeah, me too.
I know I'd be down for the chicken and the beef.
With some shredded cheese and a blop of sour cream.
Yeah, the only place I don't want to get ground beef from right now is Taco Bell. Did you catch that one?
No.
Well, it was back east here. Taco Bell's had to stop selling any of their ground beef products. Because it was found that their ground beef had an extra flavoring agent in them, namely tiny, dangerous pieces of shredded metal.
Nice.
Yeah, I think your Taco Bells were affected too, Steve.
Yeah, well, I don't eat that crap, Bob.
Good for you.
Taco Bell, you know, it's not that I'm above it or anything. It's just I know what it's all about. And I don't want to be eating shredded metal, you know.
Right, and see, even here, we've got decent Mexican joints that, you know, the ones that used to have all the same menu that had the special lunch number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, and number F. That's how I discovered that they were all coming out of the same the same meal plan when I saw. Special lunch number F in West Virginia, saw it in Kentucky, saw it in Tennessee, and saw it in Alabama, a light went on.
So I guess you'd be best if you had to eat at Taco Bell just to get a bean burrito.
Well, you can go with the chicken. The chicken's fine.
Yeah.
A lot of people were pissed off about it, and some Taco Bells reported that it was not received well when they wanted their taco, and they said, would you care to try the chicken? No.
We've taco trucks.
Ooh, taco trucks. Yeah, that too.
Yeah, I remember those.
Oh, by the way, I had a note from Ron in Raleigh. Can you just imagine if Hillary Clinton had shucked her duds for cash We'd never have heard the end of it. Hell, these jagoffs lost their shit after a glimpse of Michelle Obama's arms. And that's true.
That's true. Good point, Ron.
And Lady B with a question. I'm not sure of the income status of those who live in the areas affected by the power outages in California, but 5 days is insane. Seriously, how do they expect them to live like that? This shit could be an ongoing situation for at least 10 years or more until everything's sorted out and corrected. What the fuck, man? Is it just me? No, it's not. I mean, that's...
And according on your deductible, if you got a freezer full of food, you can file a claim. But it could affect your mod rating. So you got to weigh out the bad with the good, you know. Your mod rating is your insurability rating. It's like a credit rating.
Yeah, but the thing is, I think under the circumstances, since this is something that's being imposed by, you know, like PG&E, it's not something where FEMA's going to jump in, even if FEMA was worth a damn in the first place.
I think all the power companies in California are doing this shit, except the municipal utility ones, like LA Power. And up here in Redding, we got City of Redding. I don't think they're doing any shutdowns.
It just seems cruel, you know. I guess their intentions are good. I don't know, but it seems cruel to me. Just to yank people's electricity, but I guess they do what they have to do.
Well, the problem, Steve, is that they're scared to death. Because yeah. PG&E was forced into bankruptcy because the losses from, like, the Paradise Fire and the truck fire, which they caused, is somewhere around $9 billion.
Yeah, that's coming out of their end, too.
Well,
but if it hasn't, it will.
Well, the thing is, since they declared bankruptcy, they kind of lifted their middle finger toward all the claimants. Because now that means that whoever's got all those billions of dollars in losses has to get in line and will wind up accepting, you know, 3 cents on the dollar or 10 maybe for what was taken from them by PG&E.
Boy, a lot of lawyers sure advertising on.
Oh, I have no doubt.
Campfire.
Yeah, what are they advertising, Duncan? I mean, elaborate on that.
Sign up.
Just sign up. If you're affected by the campfire, the deadline is coming up. I mean,
so it's a class action then.
Basically, correct? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And if Billable Rick was here, he would probably agree that the only people that make any money off class actions are the lawyers, you know? A perfect example is the breach of the Equifax.
Not necessarily.
The breach of the Equifax. I mean, it went from $50 a person down to, okay, we're going to give you free credit monitoring, you know.
We got $72,000 once out of a class action suit.
You did?
Yeah, it was a medical thing.
Well, congratulations, bro. And there must not have been very many people involved. Usually class actions, there's, you know.
Oh, I think there was a few
countless
hundred.
Amounts. Yeah, that's what I mean. Usually class action suits, like the one to get the Equifax breach, there's millions upon millions. And the more people that throw their hat in, wanting a chunk, it lessens the pot. You know,
yeah, and frankly, I would dare say that most of the people in the particular case of the Equifax suit would probably have been happy to walk away without a damn dime if they knew that Equifax was going to simply cease to exist. And that's why I keep hollering that we need a corporate death penalty.
Death penalty, yeah.
Yeah, and you got three of these bastards.
Kamala Harris was ranting on Facebook about she's going to try to do something to help the people of California.
I'm just curious because I haven't seen anything. Has she chimed in on the the police murder of the 16-year-old boy in Fresno?
I don't think so. I haven't seen anything.
Kind of makes you wonder why not.
I have her on my Facebook feed, so she, your personal.
You're like me, Bob. There's something behind the scenes there, isn't there?
Well, I mean, she's made, it's just that she's bragged so much about how, you know, she fought for police accountability and body cams, mm-hmm. and you'd kind of think she'd be first out of the gate on that.
Bob, has my buddy Todd checked in a while, or have you heard from him?
Oh, yeah,
we called in the other night.
Yeah, we talked a few nights ago.
Yeah, Washington Journal is just getting nuttier and nuttier. I mean, good gosh, man. They're pulling the same shit that they did 4 years ago, where Republicans call in on all three lines. If they call in on the Democrat line, well, I used to be a Democrat, but they all rant and rail against how Trump's being, you know, a duly electified president is being, the election's being undone, you know.
You need to stop that filthy morning habit.
It is. It's making me age. I end up throwing shit at the wall and everything else, you know. At least my friend Scott did call and call him out. That was a pretty good call. One of the few. I'm waiting for Bob to call in one morning, but
nah,
he does enough
that
shit.
That ain't me.
It ain't going to happen, is it?
I get to say whatever I want for 3 hours a night, and ain't nobody got no button.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about Pedro cutting you off. And they call everybody Pedro. I mean, it doesn't matter who's. It could be a
Isn't that
a lady?
Hey, isn't that a variation on a John Prine song? Remember?
So.
She said Roy. She called everybody Roy. Which one is that?
I don't know. I love John Prine.
Quickly down under. Had a gal called Roy, but he wasn't Roy.
I think that's come back to us. Barbara Lewis, Harry Krishna, Beauregard.
And they call Greta Pedro. I mean, everybody they call Pedro.
It's almost like they're not even watching. They're just, hey, Marvelline, get me our cordless phone. It's time to call Pedro today.
These goddamn liberals are taking over everything. We got to put a stop to this. But, you know, Todd suffers with me, so I'd really like to hear from him. If you're out there, Todd, please call him, brother.
Steve, you got to watch out, man. I saw a medical study. I saw
Chris,
a medical study. Hey,
I didn't call you, man. I didn't call you Dennis tonight. How you doing, brother?
If you watch too much Washington Journal, flames start coming out of your pee-pee. So,
what's a wonder mine ain't like a fucking one of those guns, you know, the flame guns, you know.
Oh, and, hey, Chris, I had a follow-up based on something you said last night.
Okay.
Yeah, Dave wrote in and said, I didn't hear the show live being on the road, but I think it was Chris who was concerned about the David Cafaro winery.
Yes.
Those are all Alexander Valley grapes, and they will be fine even though they're at the foot of the Mayacamas Mountains. The Mayacamas are still burning. We could see them very clearly from U.S. 101 northbound lane this afternoon going home. The valley is not impacted, though. Interestingly, Raymond Burr's winery is on the west side of the highway overlooking the David Cafaro facility. But I digress. Tell Chris to continue buying Cafaro's blends. He's good at it.
He's so good. Well, and it's sad to hear about Raymond Burr's wines because I was a member of his for a while as well. But so it's sorry to hear that they might be at risk. But it's good to hear that David's stuff is good. And if you guys are looking for good wine from California, Northern California, Cafaro's where it's at for sure.
So they're blends. I mean, what are they? I mean,
well, okay, so Carignan can be, they do Carignans, and they do, like, their big seller is a Block 4. So you can blend, there's different percentages of, let's say, a Zinfandel grape and a Pinot grape and a Cabernet Sauvignon grape, right? So they kind of experiment with those blends. It's similar to like a blended whiskey, right?
Oh, okay.
Yeah. It's all high in tannins, though, and it's all supposed to be good for you, you know.
Very much so.
Man, those tannins are where the headache comes from.
Maybe not as much as I drink, but...
Yeah, if you're susceptible to migraines, yeah, the tannins will kick them off, but...
Sulfites
on the flip side, yeah, yeah.
So, okay, here's one of those interesting little intersections of just incalculable, why does this happen this way? So the other night, just on a lark, we were doing our evening movie watch at the end of the day, and I said, hey, we haven't watched an Alfred Hitchcock movie in a long time. So over on whatever I subscribed to, they had a bunch of Alfred Hitchcock movies, and we just chose Rear Window. And, of course, Raymond Burr plays the bad guy in that. And so that led me down the internet rabbit hole to just learn more about Raymond Burr. And I had never heard of Raymond Burr's winery until I read it that night. And then lo and behold, a week later, we're talking about it on the program with no prompting from me.
You know, Bob? Hey.
Hey, Bill.
Speaking of Raymond Burr, I had a case.
It's that feller on the Sherry commercial, isn't it?
No.
I don't know.
No, Raymond Burr, Perry Mason.
I had a case where Raymond Burr was a tangential influence. He was apparently an investor in this, I guess they raised, orchids.
Yep.
There was this whole orchid business and this whole place in, I think, somewhere in Tahiti, one of the islands in Tahiti, like Garden of Eden or something, Garden of Eden or some. They've turned it into some botanical thing, and he actually started that. So he was quite an interesting guy.
I was thinking of Orson Welles in the Gallo commercial. And there, it's funny, throwback from Northern Exposure. Maurice says, oh, that fat feller from the Sherry commercials.
Anybody remember Italian Swiss Colony wine?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember the brand. I don't remember drinking any of it. But
yeah. I went on a tour of their wine making facility when I was like 12 years old. I used to spend summers on a ranch in Ukiah, which is north of Santa Rosa.
Mm-hmm.
And this ranch is 360,000. Big, huge vineyard on it. They sold all their grapes to the Italian Swiss Colony.
Mm. Was it good wine?
They had. The wine bottle, it had the little basket thing on the bottom of it, kind of, and then it had a little plastic stand on it, too.
What's it taste up, you, though?
You know,
yeah, it was like a Chianti.
I didn't taste it.
Okay.
He was 12, Rick. I mean, come on.
Oh, okay. 12. Oh, you mean your parents didn't let you drink? Oh, my gosh.
Oh, and cowbell for James in Illinois. He got my reference. It's actually, Carl, take all the money. She called everybody Carl. Come back to us, Barbara Lewis, Harry Krishna, Beauregard, John Prine. So, yeah.
That's a pretty deep reference there, Bob. I don't know how many of us got that, but thanks.
Well, I thought it was Roy, but it was Carl.
Okay.
But I love a good Chianti. Whoever was describing that.
Oh, yeah. with some fava beans.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There you go. You know. Speaking of fancy bottles, there's like one bottle that's made out of straw almost. It's a Portuguese wine. I'm trying to think of what it is. It's not port, but it's another kind of Portuguese wine. It's a red. It's really very good. I used to get that a lot. It's you know, not that expensive. It's maybe mid-range as far as wines go. Probably cost you $10-$15 a bottle. I know I should remember. But it's a fancy bottle, too, kind of like the what you were mentioning, Bob, with the – or Sparky was mentioning.
Is it a Sangiovese, Rick?
No, I don't think it's a Sangiovese. That's okay. A very specialized type of grape. That's very good, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I like that.
Well, Rick, what do you think of the evil Tom Bosley, Bob Barr, is going to investigate the investigation? Jesus Christ, are they getting desperate or what, man?
I'd say so. It's called trying to switch the narrative after, like, what, a horrible week? They got the shit kicked out of them the whole week, one day after another. Between what Ambassador Taylor on, was it on Monday? And
do you think anything's going to come out of that? I mean...
Maybe some frame-up jobs. I don't put that past today's Justice Department, to tell you the truth. Hate to say that, but I have no confidence in the Justice Department anymore, Steve. I think it's become a rogue. It's
entirely compromised. That's why I was talking during the filibuster about the fact that the substantial difference between John Mitchell and Bill Barr is that Bill Barr will never go to prison because John Mitchell was indicted by the Watergate special prosecutor team.
Right, right.
And there's nobody out there. What's Bill Barr going to investigate himself?
Yeah.
Tracy wants you to know that the chili is cooking.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
That's great. Well, I'm hoping I can make it. I don't know at the moment. I know this isn't necessarily relationship central as far as the program goes, but
hello, Los Angeles. I'm listening.
Are you guys listening? Okay.
The eagle has left the nest.
What? This is what's going on. Okay. She's allergic, or this is what she says is going on. Okay. She's allergic to my cats. She lives in Orange County, about 45 miles away from where I am.
I sympathize. I'm allergic to cats too. It's miserable, man.
Yeah. I live 50 miles from work. Okay. My son is going to UC Irvine, which is like 50 miles from the home. So it's not like he can commute. Okay. So he's got an apartment with two roommates down there. And so she's been wanting me to rent or sell my house, which I own on my own, and get rid of the cats. But, you know, my kids got some special needs.
Yeah.
My kids got special needs.
Yeah, that's tough.
And these are his friends, okay? These are his only friends, unfortunately. You know, he's like got Asperger's. And so, you know, if I get rid of the cats, my son's going to hate me. He's going to have no place to stay if he wants to go back from school and, you know, kind of chill out during Christmas break or whatever Thanksgiving.
That's an intractable situation, Rick.
No, I'm not picking sides either.
I feel the pain on
everybody, especially with Ms. Starr, with me having my own cat allergies. There's nothing worse than being
okay, but let me ask a piercing question here that I probably ought not ask.
Go ahead, Bob. I brought this up. I probably shouldn't have brought it up. So go ahead, ask.
Oh, I'm not asking. I'm not asking you. I'm asking Brother Steve.
Oh,
so. Let's say somebody who owns cats 50 miles away from you comes to visit. Are you going to get will the mere fact that they own cats make you go into spasms or whatever?
Bob, I couldn't let them and the cats in the house. I would have to tell them.
No, I'm not talking about their cats. The cats are 50 miles away. They just come to visit you, and they have cats.
All right.
Well, cat hair gets on your coat, on your clothes. In other words,
don't. No. Billable. Let this thing work out.
and Billable brought up a good point. As long as they keep their clothes well washed and there's no cat dander or anything, no, I would have no problem. I'd welcome them with open arms. If they came to me, you know, and their clothes were covered with cat dander and I couldn't breathe, I mean, you got to live, you know. You got to live in your own house.
Billable Rick, don't coach the witness, okay? Let me
add something to the hypothetical, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Let me conduct the inquiry, okay?
Do you want me to plead the fifth first? Or?
No. You're an expert witness.
I would hardly say the word expert.
No, you're an expert. You're an expert witness on cat allergies by dint of age, experience, and education.
All my life, I've had them. I love cats too, and that's what sucks. I think cats are cooler than dogs, but I can't be around them. I can't breathe. I get asthma. My eyes.
Okay, so
puff out of my head.
Okay, so let's work with me here.
Yes, sir.
If you have cats, you are going to have cat hair. I mean,
it's not the hair; it's the dander. But
right,
go ahead.
Right, but I mean, that's why I'm setting this up in an orderly fashion. Steve, you would drive a lawyer crazy on the stand. Just deal with the questions as they come. So, do cat hair and cat dander necessarily go hand in hand?
I don't know. I'm not an expert.
You are. But because, you know, you've lived it.
Well, I've never, you know, microscoped one and did a scratch test. You know, okay, here's the dander. Is it going to well up? Here's the hair. Is it going to well up on my arm?
Okay.
So I can't even give you an honest answer.
Okay, let's take this a little bit further. We have cats here. We have, you and I have been together for 2 Malloy Mountain getaways.
Yes.
Did you go home and have an asthmatic fit? And I don't say that in a negative way. Or did you have any negative repercussions?
No, sir, I did not. No, I know where we were going. I did not.
And the magnificent Tara has cats.
I know. But if I'd have been caught in the room,
Tara
and all your all's cats.
That's what I'm getting at. You got to work with me here. You were around us, and we have cats. We didn't have the cats with us, but it's safe to say we probably imported some cat hair from, say, West Virginia and or New York. You get me?
Yes, sir.
And it gave you no problem, correct?
May I reply? By the time you got to me, the dander was probably so diluted it didn't cause an effect. But if we were all trapped in the same room, you, Tara, and your cats,
but within the situation that we are describing here on relationships on the horn. With Bob and Steve and the horn counseling group, there's apparently not a single chance in hell that Rick's cats will ever find their way to Orange County, California.
No, so, I don't think so.
Right. And
they might become outdoor cats.
And you, Rick, are not going sashaying through the door covered in cat hair and cat dander.
Well, there is some cat stuff on pants that I wear, but it doesn't seem to make
there
Star
doesn't
sick.
There does not seem to be a cause and effect response.
Not that I can tell.
I was going to throw in another fact here
and get the ad hoc horn relationship team involved in that as well, if I may.
Yes.
Okay, that other fact is that I'm still on friendly terms with my ex-wife, and
oh,
she lives 2.5 miles away from me, 2.5 miles away from me in her own house.
That may be the bigger allergy than the cats.
Yeah. That may be the push to get me to, like, either rent or sell the house and get rid of the cats and then have my son hate me. And then have me feel horrible about it.
It sucks.
You know what I'm saying?
Especially if you like cats. Yeah. I do like cats.
But I think the real reason, you know, other people have told me, look, the real reason is the ex 2.5 miles away, you know, and, you know, people have told her, hey, look, he's sleeping with her. There's no doubt about it. This thing, the other thing. But she's had a boyfriend for like over 4 years. So it's not like, you know. There's nothing there, and I feel.
From the bottom of my heart,
I used to swig Benadryl when I was around Karen's cats, just so I could tolerate him. And it made me tired and lethargic. It wasn't worth it. It
you
wasn't
can't live like that. Yeah,
yeah, but see, no. Steve, that's the whole thing. The whole reason we've gone through this extended exchange is to get to the point where we understand it isn't about cats. That's why I mm-hmm. asked you about cat hair, cat dander, and negative effects. And, you know, you were around Agnes and me and Tara, didn't have any problems. It yeah. isn't about cats. And, I mean, if Dr. Laura Schlesinger, who had an EDD in basket weaving, can make millions of dollars on the air being a right-wing piece of shit telling women that they're hopeless tramps because they like to date, then I think on this little program now in its 15th year, we can do a little bit of we can do a little bit of group for our friend and brother Billable Rick.
I appreciate that, folks. I keep getting knocked out of this Skype thing,
and I'm not trying back. To butt heads with you, Rick. I'm not.
Oh no, no. I'm just trying to make it clear that the reason for that line of questioning was yeah. to demonstrate it ain't about the cats.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
I don't know, Bob. If you like me saying I was allergic to Karen, we've been married 25 years. And when I was around her cats, when she had cats, it drove me absolutely nuts.
Right, but there's no cats. There's no cats, Steve.
Not now.
In Billable Rick's situation, there's no cats.
Here's another fact we could throw in. Let's say I get rid of the cats and keep living like half the week in La Crescenta, where I live, okay, and don't rent the place out and don't sell it. Are things going to suddenly get better? I don't know.
I don't know.
No.
We had to convert Karen's cats into outdoor cats so I could.
No.
We're past the cats. We're past cats, Steve. Okay. There are no cats.
I'm trying to give you a physiological answer from my own personal experience.
I just got a note from Tracy. I just got a note from Tracy saying it's about the X. It has nothing to do with the cats.
Yeah.
Ding, ding, ding.
I wish it was that simple.
In this case, it is.
The X is being catty.
Ah.
There you go, Joe. I love the area where I love La Crescenta. Don't like Orange County that much. You know? I've lived in the same area for like about 30 years. And I have like made a lot of friends in the last like 4 years or so when I've been playing pool. Okay.
Yeah. You are what we call here in Appalachia, sot in your ways.
Yes. Yes. And so I'm scheduled to go to Stars tonight about 7 and another few hours here, a little over 2 hours. And I don't know what's going to happen. We'll have to see, you know, but,
hey man, does she listen to the show?
No.
All right.
She doesn't, but I, you know. Yeah, so guys, it's like, it's a tough situation.
It's very tough.
She said stuff like, oh, I never should have gotten involved with somebody who had a ex-wife or that has children or,
above and beyond, you know. If Karen would have had a dog allergy, I don't know how I would have taken that. Because I've and loved dogs.
Man, I can't get you to let loose of the pets here.
He just Steve loves the animals, Bob. I think that's what's going on.
I love cats too.
Come on,
I do.
Steve, let the cat go.
Cats are cool.
Does the cat have your tongue?
Cats are cool, but I can't be around them. They tear me up, man.
No, I hear you, Steve. I hear you.
Yeah, and Tracy. Yeah, there we go. Thank you.
What's Tracy saying?
Tracy says, tell Rick, this is a female speaking. It has nothing to do with the cats.
That's what my ex-wife says as well. I happen to talk to her. Like, she hears stuff like, I talk to my son and say, hey, can you have like two cats in your room at the apartment? Are you guys there still?
Yeah, you're here.
I thought we were dropping out. He has an apartment. He has two other roommates. They each have their own bedroom, and then there's a common area and a kitchen, okay? And two of them share one bathroom. The other has his own bathroom attached to his room. And so, you know, Star thought, well, you could have two of the cats, the ones he likes best, in his apartment, although there's a no pet policy.
It won't work like that.
What if one of the roommates is allergic to cats and gets hospitalized or whatever? And then if he gets found out having cats in a no pet area, he's going to lose his housing.
Yeah, no.
And he won't be able to find anything on campus.
None of this is worth that. And by the way, I've got a note from Eileen in New York City. There's medication. I've had a vet who is allergic to cats and dandered dogs. He just sniffed a la Trump a lot. But there is medication for that. I don't think there's medication for the X.
No, it's not. That's true. I mean, you know, I could do dirty deeds done dirt cheap, but I would never think of doing that. You know what I'm saying?
I get that. I mean, I have tried Benadryl, the most effective antihistamine
on
the market.
Brother, I love you. It is not about cats.
Hey, Rick. Come on, Steve. Hey, Rick. It's training. Oh, you stand, man. Come on.
Steve, I love you guys, too. To me, it is about the cats.
No, it's not. The cats are a subterfuge, Steve. The cats are a subterfuge.
Excuse. Yeah. Not the real reveal.
I disagree with you guys. I love you. I love you guys, but Steve, I disagree.
Rick has answered all the questions. It's become abundantly clear that the cats are at best a metaphor.
Well,
there's no impact from the cats.
May I add this, Bob? Karen loved me so much when we first got together, she converted her inside cats to outside cats, which you can do in Georgia because the weather's not that extreme, and that worked. That worked for me.
Yeah.
Does everyone remember Lost?
Can I ask one more question of the group here?
Absolutely, Rick.
I think I got my question answered. Okay, is the fact that my ex lives 2.5 miles away from me going to be a problem for any other woman that I may date? Let's say it doesn't work out between the lovely star and myself.
You know what? You cannot make sweeping generalizations about women generally. And any man who does so does so at his own peril.
How about let's attach some odds or percentages to this though? What percentage of women out there would have a problem with the fact that I didn't hate
now,
my
I'm,
ex-spouse?
I'm willing to do some Dr. Laura here, but I ain't stupid.
Separate houses. Okay, how about the female horn contingent? Can they email and make their vote heard?
Rick,
Bob, do you love your kid's mom? Or
hey, Tracy.
Tracy is going to give you what for now.
Tracy, you
know, Rick, when you told me this last night, this just sounds like...
Hey, Joe, stop. Tracy is here.
Stop, because see now...
All stop.
You guys have got me. I am trying to cook fucking chili, and y'all getting on my goddamn nerves. Here I go. Okay, listen to me, white men.
All quiet, Tracy speaks.
Listen.
Steve, all quiet.
Any women, listen to me. Most women are secure, and I'm not trying to disparage your girl star.
Mm-hmm.
But Steve, you're worrying about the wrong pussy here, okay? It's not about the fucking cats. That part, so let me get that part out the way.
I love Mary Clayton.
Okay.
A cowbell for Tracy for that one.
Okay.
I was a little slow on the draw there, but my bad.
Yeah. So here, listen, and like you said, Bob, general, you know, you're worrying about the, you know, they're sweeping generalizations about women. Most women are not going to care about your ex living. If she loves you and cares about you, she is not going to care if your ex-wife lives right next door to you. Mm-hmm. Dan's ex lives down the street, basically down the street from us, and I'm not lying. Literally down the street, and I could give a flying fuck because I know Jan loves me, and I don't care.
Yeah,
so that's me.
And I have given her no reason to distrust me, Tracy.
That's what I'm saying. So yeah. that's her issue, not you, mm-hmm. not her. That's her issue.
Yeah.
And like I said, Jan's literally lives 5 minutes away from
okay.
me, and I don't okay. care. I do not okay. care because I know my wife loves me.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with that. So, you know, so that's her problem, not mm-hmm. yours.
Yeah.
And so, and the fact that she's listening to other people talk about, well, he's sleeping with his ex again.
Her son, her son supposedly tells her that. Her son's girlfriend tells her that, hey, there's something going on between them.
Then that's her issue.
And that has nothing to do with no damn cats, then.
Yes,
the light, it goes on.
The cat's the obvious.
Oh, sorry,
Steve.
I'm a bit slow. I'm a bit slow.
It takes him a while.
He's a little while getting there, but he will show.
Like I said,
the turtle will cross the line.
Is tripping over the fact that your ex and she's taking you through all this bullshit over some yeah. goddamn cats. Yeah. Not about the cats. She's an insecure female.
Yeah.
And I'm not telling you to drop kick her through the field post of life, but
I'm not going to do some. I'm keeping the cats and keeping
if
the house.
If she's tripping over some goddamn cats, I'm
going to keep the house and keep
right.
the cats.
She's telling you to sell
hey,
the
Rick.
House or Rick.
She's a lovely person, though.
She seems like a lovely person, but she's taking through all these, and she's trying to say it's about cats. It's not about cats.
Hey, Rick.
Seriously.
No,
you're right.
You know that I've said my piece, so because y'all were getting on my nerves and my head was hurting, and I'm trying to make chili, and y'all white men are talking about women, and I'm like, there was not one female in the room, so I said what I had to say. So go
don't.
You're the representative.
God bless you, Tracy.
Thanks, Tracy.
You know what? You're the one with a future in relationship talk radio.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it's the voice of reason, man.
Because y'all were getting on my nerves. Like, Jesus.
So anyway, talk more about cats, Tracy.
the wrong pussy. Y'all were talking about
exactly.
the wrong pussy.
Exactly. Exactly. Did you ever get a cowbell for that one?
Yes, I awarded. I did award the cowbell. So here's the bottom. So here's the bottom line, Rick. Before Tracy goes. Well, hang on. Tracy goes back to cooking. Here's the bottom line. You go eat you some chili at Tracy's, and you will be a much happier human being come Sunday morning.
Dude.
Yeah, because
Jan is making a witch's brew. We got a cauldron, and we're gonna put dry ice, so it's smoking, and we're gonna have a piñata. Dude,
as long as you don't have cats, you know.
Yeah.
Well,
you're
not coming, so it doesn't matter. We have
actually, Tracy.
Well,
I meant to
you never know, Tracy. I might be there, man.
Yeah, see, we got two pussies that live in the house. We don't need another pussy, so we're good.
Tracy, one more thing. I was also going to tell you, it's my birthday.
Jan says we have a dog, and that's a real animal. So
your dog is cool.
I agree with your buddy there.
And Kimba
Tracy.
Is. And if y'all if y'all had cats, that just would have been a Kimba snack anyway. So
that would have been a Kimba snack. Truly.
That's true. So Tracy, yes. this is another thing I was going to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
It's Star and me share the same birthday, October 28th on Monday. So this is kind of our birthday weekend, okay?
Oh.
And I was trying to convince she decided she didn't want to go to a costume party, doesn't want to go to
LA.
What are
the odds,
it's not a costume party, dude. It's a t-shirt because I think costume parties are stupid. People spend a whole lot of time and money on stupid and they're not comfortable.
I've got a rocking costume. Don't worry about it. But anyway, the upshot of it, Tracy, was that
She
didn't feel like going to the party, and I was trying to convince her, okay, I'll tell you what, let's go to the party for a couple hours, and then we can go see a concert, like maybe somewhere in the valley, you know?
Right, because there's always something out here going on.
Yeah.
Is she still tripping? Look.
Yeah, Rick Wind and Fire's playing.
And she wasn't into the idea of going to the costume to the party.
There's going
to
be more white people at the... because I'm having another party in 2 weeks where there's going to be a smattering of white people and a whole lot of black people. Okay. So Jan needs as many white people. So she's going to have to have all these white people here. So she's going to have to have an all the infusion as, of white people as she can at this party, because she's going to be surrounded by a whole bunch of darkness in 2 weeks. So you have to come so she can have the infusion of whiteness.
Well, Tracy,
Tracy, please. On my, you did not say darkies on my air, did you?
No, I said darkness.
Darkness. Okay, thank you. There was a little bit of jumble there, and I was like, no.
I never said dark. Oh, God.
So Tracy, I'm going to try my best to make it to your party, okay? I really want to come.
Tracy, I want to know if I'm invited.
Steve, be on the first thing smoking from Georgia, baby. You can.
we'd have a blast, man.
You know, but.
Tracy, I do have to ask. So with the amount of non-melanin that's going to be at this bash, are you at least going easy on the Lowry's on the potato salad? I mean, you don't want to burn up any palates or anything.
I'm not making potato salad. I'm doing the chicken chili, the beef chili, and the vegetarian chili. I'm doing
Well, don't season up the tofu too much on that vegetarian chili now.
Get the fuck out of here. I'm not making no goddamn
tofu
chili.
Make sure there's a vegetarian. That's all I want
to
know.
I love it when Tracy decides to send me down the road.
I will cut you and watch you bleed if I told you. Janice said, by the way, I was listening to the show on my speaker, and she loved Rudy Giuliani. She does thought that was hilarious. And then you call, she's like, Giuliani, man, that's funny. So she thought that was funny, by the way.
You mean to say I got a giggle out of Jan?
Yes. You got a giggle.
Wow.
My life has been worthwhile.
Yourself a cowbell, Bob.
It's a cowbell, even though so you give yourself a cowbell. Yeah.
Tiny little Giuliani. Jingle, just as small.
You got a smile out of Jan for Rudy Giuliani. Yes, you did. No, and Jan just, she shook her head. There will be no tofu in her house. I mean.
Tell Jan I look forward to meeting her.
There's tofu. We're from California, but we're not that California.
Hey, Tracy, I do have to tell you this, though. I found out that because they vacuum seal it so tight, Benton's Country Hams and Bacon will ship all over the country.
Oh, honey, we have to try this. There's this place called Benton's Ham and Bacon, and Bob has been trying to get me to order it, so... We're going to have to order because they vacuum. He said they vacuum seal it.
You don't
so
even
tight.
Have to put this stuff in the fridge for months.
Said can't because we're on a diet, but I think we might have to make a special exception because it's supposed to be the best thing ever. So, yeah.
I mean, it comes with cooking instructions because it's real old school bacon. It doesn't even cook like grocery store bacon.
Oh, see, stop. See, that means I got to make. Biscuits.
Tracy, and if you get a couple of little packages of the sliced deboned ham, I will get on Messenger with you, and I will walk you through dirty gravy.
Okay. Well, I'm being told that I have to go. Oh, by the way,
one more thing, Tracy.
I found out that I might be able to find out a place to get chitlins. So there, we will talk about that later.
Hey, Tracy.
One more thing, and I gotta go. Yes, Rick.
Is the 5K course set up for the party, for those who want to race?
No, <fool. laughs> but I am doing a 5K tomorrow morning before the party.
Cool! Very cool.
So the 5K course.
All right. Well, I
hate
all
you people.
Tracy. I hope to see you, Tracy.
I hope you make it tomorrow too.
I'd really like to.
And I promise you, I won't give your girl side eye if you guys come tomorrow.
It'll be me. It'll just be me solo. She said,
is she bringing her cat?
No.
Fuck your dad with the cat.
Enough about the fucking cat, Steve.
Talking about the wrong pussy, Steve.
Yes. Enough about the cake.
Anyway, I love you guys.
Love
yeah, don't you, yeah, get back to it. You can't let that. Do not let that chili scorch.
Yeah, he has an invitation. He has. Yeah, that's the Rick is the guy that I went to the comedy show with. That's Rick. So yes. So anyway, I'm out, and I'll see you tomorrow, Joe. And Rick better bring his happy white ass. I don't want no bullshit from you. Anyway, I will.
it's gonna be me solo. It's me too.
Anyway, I will talk to you guys later.
See ya.
Bye. See you, Tracy. Bon appetit, dear.
Bye, Tracy.
Hey, Rick.
All right. Have y'all been set straight?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. No. What's up, it only Joe? Took an hour.
I don't want to hear about cats no more. I hate cats.
No more cats.
What?
Hey. Enough about the cat.
What are you going to say, Joe?
I was going to say, with all the fire.
Well, I don't know if that was me or else. What? I don't know.
For a cowbell or something, but I don't know if that works,
no, actually. But you know, last night, Rick, when we were talking,
yeah,
you know, at your house, this whole thing is all about control. That's the only thing that's going through my head.
Yeah,
she wants to be controlled.
Yes,
you.
No question.
Let's move on to the karaoke that we did, Joe.
I want to hear about that.
It was so funny. You guys made me cry.
I started out.
I love you guys, man.
I start out with Alabama song. That's always a hit in the bar crowd. Okay.
What?
Keep your eyes on the road, your hands upon the wheel.
There are two of them, Bob. There's another one.
Oh, show me the way
to the next whiskey bar.
Don't ask why. Oh, don't ask why. For if we
don't find the next whiskey bar, I tell you we must cry.
I thought it was die.
But might be die.
Boom.
Anyway, it's a good sing-along song, so I did that. And the second song was Roger Miller, King of the Road. And then I was going to do Johnny Cash, Ring of Fire, but decided that Margaritaville by Buffett was a better choice.
King of the Road.
I think Joe heard that one. And then the very last song was... What was it? What the fuck was it? It was
Lucky Horse Show.
Tom Petty, Mary Jane's Last Dance.
That's right, Mary Jane, yeah.
And then shortly after that, about an hour, I was like doing Mary Jane's Last Dance in the backyard.
So I gotta fly out to the west side so I can hang out with you and Joe and the rest of you guys, man.
You're gonna love my backyard, man. It's like an English wild garden. I don't trim my stuff.
He's got his own rainforest.
Yeah,
just
pretty
keep,
much.
Keep the cat away. We'll
love the left coast.
Actually, the dog will be out there fetching tennis balls as we're outside hanging out. Okay. Yeah, she's just this little tiny dog, this Maltese poodle that loves to fetch tennis balls.
I'm just kidding, Rick. I would never ask you to.
Do you have one?
I'll get a hotel room, seriously, but I do want to come out there.
Hey, there's room for you, man. Don't forget about the hotel. It's just me right now in that house.
Okay.
My kids at school.
And four cats.
And a dog.
And not Star. Yeah.
She won't stay there.
So I'm sorry, Rick, about the situation.
I know. I think it is about control, but I think Joe's right. You know.
Well, Karen and I really like Star. We really did. We considered
She's a sweet girl. I love her. Yeah. So, you know. But sometimes you have
maybe there's an underlying issue. It's not about cats that I'm missing here.
Yeah, well, so, yes.
You guys remember the show?
Watermelon has a name.
Go ahead, Bob. Give me the ding.
He gets a cowbell.
It's not a cowbell. It's a ding.
Inspiration.
You guys remember the show Lost in Space?
Yeah.
With the robot.
Well, Robbie,
For the flailing arms. They're flailing now, Rick.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
You're awesome, Chris.
Yeah, you are. So we'll see what happens tonight. Yeah, I'm not expecting anything real good. I might end up being back at the pool hall by midnight tonight playing a little pool. Who knows?
Well, probably, you don't know that.
Don't fall asleep, Joe, okay? Answer your phone. Really. Joe fell asleep.
At the
he was supposed to show up at this joint at like 10:30 last night. And he I call him, hey, what's going on, man? It's fun. I was like taking a picture so he could see it. And so he calls me at like 11:15. Oh, I fell asleep.
Well, 10:30.
So Tracy, hey, I meant to mention this because I got an email from Ron and Raleigh, I think last night when we were talking about Krispy Kremes, or maybe it was when Todd and I were talking about Krispy Kremes. I can't remember. 15 years, you know. Ron and Raleigh told me, and I was reminded when Tracy said she's going to run a 5K tomorrow. They have, I think it was Ron, They have down that way a Krispy Kreme 10K. Now, ponder this for a moment. You run the first 5K, then you eat a dozen Hot Now Krispy Kremes. And then you run the other five.
It is said not
to be a pretty sight.
The main factory is on there. The end of the race or not? You got to eat five more when you're done with the second.
No,
5K,
I think you just have to eat. No, nobody can. You can't ask anybody to eat two dozen Krispy Kreme.
The main factory is down on Ponce de Leon. I've been there many times. The very first Krispy Kreme, you cannot beat one of those coming right off the line. You have not lived until you taste one of those coming off the line.
Yeah, you'll be in a catatonic state.
Yeah.
Joe. Say it ain't so, Joe.
So, Joe, what would you give? What grade would you give Rick on his karaoke?
Oh man, I don't know about the karaoke, but the Mary Jane is, that's where it's at, man.
Oh, okay. That's a 10?
Yeah, he had some great stomach medicine last time we met.
Yeah, Rick, it's amazing how you can get that through the airport.
Yep.
You grow your own, Rick?
Huh?
You grow your own?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. No, I don't have that kind of time. I would like to try, but, you know, maybe when I'm retired.
Why bother when there's stores all over the place down there?
Yeah. Well, that's true.
And you know what? It's not just like, oh, okay, I'm going to grow some either. I mean, it's a rather complex process now.
Yeah, it is. It is. There's handbooks that are published on the internet that you can get free on how to grow your own stuff, but, you know.
But I heard somewhere that, like, most people who try it screw up their first harvest monumentally.
Okay.
To the point of never really getting a harvest.
If you know how to follow directions, then...
Well, I'm pretty good at that.
Yep. The first time I attempted edibles was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. The thing of it is, I can't find the raw product, so I'm stuck with having to get it out of a juice jar. You know?
Yeah. Well, the thing with edibles is I have a hard time getting the titration right. Like I take half of a gummy and don't feel anything after like 45 minutes, an hour. It's like, okay, I'll take the other half. And
before you know it, you're on the floor saying, oh, my God.
Yeah, see, that's why edibles, I mean, way, way back in the day, you know, I had some brownies here and there. But, and in fact, I had a buddy who made them in a muffin tin instead of like in a sheet pan.
Mm-hmm.
And he would put the batter in, and then he would drizzle. Then he would just drizzle some hash oil in the middle, and then pour the rest of the batter in.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear!
I bet that was good.
Oh, I mean, one and done.
Yeah.
Last time I made them, Bob, was gummy bears, and oh my God, two or three of these things, and you were happy for hours. Man.
But the thing is. I get no real kick out of edibles because there's nothing social about them. I mean, but you don't, you know.
You could share the brownie, I suppose, Bob.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, but it's the same sociability as sharing a bag of chips, right, Bob? That's right. The same as passing a doobie. I mean, there's just no comparison.
Yeah, I mean, it's
true. That's true. But I mean,
it's not even as social as two people sitting there. It doesn't even have the social quality of, hey, pass me another long neck.
That's true.
I understand that.
It's
Bob,
just solitary.
If you got asthma, what are you going to do? You can't partake of something that's going to make you sicker. So,
you
got to find that. That's why I found that edibles work really well. The problem is I can't find the raw product.
Yeah, I got.
Well,
kind of
hey,
a fun
you
story.
guys, I got to tell you something. We're into the third hour of the program here, and you guys have pissed Jim right the fuck off.
Uh-oh. Really? What the hell do we do, Jim? Tell us, Jim.
Sorry, Jim.
Apparently, because, you know, because of the cat conversation. Not funny. Hold on. I'm going to give him his say. Not funny. Come on. Not funny. Will not listen to your front porch crowd ever again. Direct affront to this writer. How could you countenance such behavior? Tell them to go to fucking hell. Signed, Jim and his cat Patches.
All apologies to Jim, but if the shoe was on the other foot and they made him sick and caused him inability to breathe, he might think differently about all this, you know?
So, you know, I don't know.
Did we say anything bad about cats, generally?
Well, Sparky said he hates cats.
Oh. No, I don't hate them. I think cats are cool. They're much cooler than dogs. Cool.
I've lived with cats. I've lived with dogs. Yes, I love dogs a bit more, but I love cats too. Absolutely.
My neighbor's cat digs up my driveways and makes deposits all the time.
Oh.
And it walks all over my car and leaves cat tracks.
Yeah. I remember
maybe
many,
the problem is that one cat, Sparky.
I remember many years ago when we lived in the
Grady go nuts when he sees a cat in the yard.
Well, we lived in the old farmhouse. We lived in the old farmhouse in the country.
My dog would take a snack.
And you always hear a dog person shouldn't marry a cat person. That's not true.
No, but there's a
cat person. I'm a dog person.
Most people who don't like cats do so because of their destructive nature.
Connection is deep enough.
Yeah.
Hey, I didn't have a cat until I was in my 20s,
and I love them, actually.
Excuse me.
I've had them constantly since I've been about 23-ish or so, I guess. Yeah.
Don't give up on Star, Rick, unless you want to, you know.
Well, it's tough, though, Steve, because it's sort of like, it's kind of a non-negotiable thing. It's sort of like she's setting down an ultimatum. Either you sell or rent your house.
Yeah,
get rid of the cats, move to Orange County, or
I think we should probably let the topic go. But anything that goes that complicated ain't about cats.
More than anyone else in the world.
Well, and my son needs the cats because he's autistic. Well, he's Asperger's. Okay,
and you need yourself too.
And those are his friends. I mean, he was thinking of not going to school because of the stress he was experiencing over this whole damn GD supposed cat issue, which really isn't a cat issue after all, you know?
Well, we did sort that out. Yeah,
you know, that's the last thing I want him to do is not get his degree on account of, you know, somebody who I'm not even married to or even engaged to. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
What I want Bob to understand is it can be a cat issue.
No,
it can
this
be
is not
that
a,
black
no,
and white.
No, no, no.
Well, it can be two things. Not Steve. In it this could case. Be, yes, she's allergic, but also the bigger problem is the allergy to the ex.
You can't be allergic to a cat that's 50 fucking miles away.
I don't know. I'm not that confident as to what's going to happen.
That's dangerous.
You know, I don't have a choice. It's a Hobbesian choice. Either my son hates me or my girlfriend hates me.
And family.
And I'd rather have
first.
My girlfriend hate me than my son hate me because he's flesh and blood. Sorry.
It's a cat 22.
Oh.
You got a cowbell there.
Yeah, Joe's been down there on the 1-inch line for a while. Fourth and an inch, and he finally gets it across
Bob
the goal
must
line.
Have stepped away to pee or something.
No, I'm right here. I gave you a cowbell.
He doesn't like me getting cowbells. He's got a thing.
What are you talking about? You got a cowbell.
He stepped away to pee.
Oh, wait a minute.
He's not there.
What the fuck?
Should I tell my cat story about Alice Cooper the cat?
Sure.
Is it gonna hurt, Jim?
I don't know. It's long time ago when I was in the Air Force, we rented this little house off base. The guy that was in there before us was an Air Force guy, and he had to do something. He had to go somewhere, and he couldn't take his cat with him. He wasn't going to come back for 2 weeks to get the cat. But all we had to do was put food out for him. We never saw the cat except when we were sitting and doing something, watching TV or listening to music. All of a sudden, this cat had come out of nowhere and attacked you. Latch onto your neck, your arms, your legs, and he claw you, and then he just disappear again. I mean, it's the worst 2 weeks I've ever been in my life. The cat's name was Alice Cooper.
Welcome to his
Martin Fuhrer.
Oh, that's funny. Oh, man.
That's an unreal. I don't know if my cousin's cat, Cow.
Oh, Bob is there. Bob?
Yeah, I've been talking.
We're giving a cowbell to Joe for coming up with. I'm in a cat 22. My situation.
He's muted right now. Bob's muted. See?
Yeah, he's
muted me.
Taking a pee or something. Man.
Oh, he says I've been muted. Talking right along.
He knows he's muted. He is muted.
He's muted. Who muted me? He says.
Sparky, did you? Mute
I didn't mute you.
Oh, that's weird.
All right, I never
mute you. It's the rest of the gang I mute.
I don't know. I gave Joe his cowbell. I said he's been down there on the 1-inch line, trying to get over the goal line for the last hour, and you know, fourth and an inch, and he finally scored.
Oh, the Buckeyes finally scored. What do you know?
Hey, Bob, do I get a cowbell for Sparky? Welcome to Sparky's Nightmare.
Yeah,
absolutely. Give Chris a cowbell.
No, I didn't realize I was muted. What I was trying to say a little bit ago is that most people who have an aversion to cats have a reason for an aversion to cats. And this goes back way, way long ago now. The babies were tiny. We lived in a 100-year-old farmhouse out in the middle of nowhere. And the furnace went out, and it was a gas furnace, a propane furnace, and it sat outside the house by the front porch. And the ductwork came off of the furnace and, you know, went through the house. And the feral cats around would go and tear into the ductwork and live and, you know, just sit there and purr and be all happy in the warm air that was passing by them. But then they'd wander further along into the ductwork and cat shit and cat piss, which was then broadcast through the entire house. We didn't even have cats, and it smelled like cat shit and cat piss.
Oh,
and
God.
People would come to visit and say, I didn't know you had a cat. And we'd go, we don't.
And it was barbecued on top of it. Ugh.
Yeah, and so you want to talk about fun? Taking the ductwork apart to get rid of cat shit and cat piss and replacing the ductwork only to have the feral cats come back and do it again.
Again.
And again.
Oh, how much money are we talking, Bob?
Well, you got to take it apart and find it all.
And not just money for the materials, money for the time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And, you can try doing, like, you know, aluminum sheet metal ductwork and stuff like that. But that turns out to be even harder to fix. Because cats, mice, and snakes can get through things that are smaller than cats, mice, and snakes.
Well, I'm so glad that we have agreed that there is a physiological response to this. It's not
Steve.
Psychological.
No. Nobody said it was psychological. What we were saying is that it really isn't about the cat allergy in Rick's case.
Okay. I didn't know we were targeting good old Rick, you know.
Was the ductwork elephant trunk?
No. It was that square, you know, like foil covered with the insulation. Horrible.
Because you was talking about regular metal ductwork, and I was trying to, it wasn't that. I was trying to remember. You know what an elephant trunk is.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, you know, they just take those razor sharp little claws and there you go again.
Now, may I ask Duncan a question?
Yeah.
Duncan, do you just do not like cats, or are you got a physical allergy? against them.
No, I don't have an allergy. I just don't like them.
You just don't like them. Well, that's your prerogative.
By the way,
Stepson's wife had a cat, and he didn't like me either.
and by the way, going back to the discussion of the socialness of edibles versus you know pipes and whatever, James in Illinois comes down on Chris and Sparky and my side on this with two notes. One, hey, pass the brownie. Nope. And then two, don't Bogart that brownie.
Oh, is that a cowbell or not? That's pretty good.
Yeah, don't Bogart. Yeah, and see, what would that have done to Little Feet? Bake another one, just like the other one.
But
you've been holding on to it, and I sure would like a bite.
A bite.
I've got a funny story about the social ability of things that smoke. I don't smoke cigarettes, and I smoked some puffs of a couple cigarettes for the first time in like 30 years because I was hanging out with a guy who does smoke, and we were in a group of guys playing pool, and the other guys left, and so it was just me and him playing singles, and he'd light up a cigarette, and all of a sudden he's like got it in his hand and just hands it to me, and I like take a puff or two. It's like, oh, okay, that's how this works. It's like, it was weird, you know, because I'd never even, you know, never, you know, I didn't, I don't plan on smoking again, but you know, it was weird. Like 30 years I hadn't puffed, and all of a sudden somebody hands me a cigarette. It's like, okay, here, there's nobody else around to smoke it. So here. So there you go.
Were you in a bar?
No. He's got like a 9 foot long pool table, nine foot long by 4.5 feet. It's in a garage at his place.
Okay.
So we went there after I played a round of golf on Tuesday, birthday round, kind of on the down low, you know, one of those work from home days.
Well, may I add something? I'm just going to say this to everybody, not just Bob. As much as Bob especially likes cooking and whatnot, to be able to and convert something from...
This better not be about cats.
It's not about cats.
Okay, good.
To take, a bag of... something that's good to smoke that you really can't smoke if you've got asthma and convert it into an edible, you feel really good about yourself after you do that. It's like,
I'm sure there's a sense of accomplishment.
Yeah.
That is good, Steve, man.
Yeah. You have to grind it up and make like a flower out of it. I mean, it's not easy, but if you can do it right and pull it off.
I saw a photo the other day of like 4 pounds of can of butter.
Oh, wow. Mm.
Which is a great way of using it because, like, let's say you wanted to make your homemade wacky Toll House cookies and you get your pecans and your Nestle's Toll House bitter chocolate chips together. Well, you know, the beginning of any good cookie is you let the butter soften and you cream the butter and the sugar together.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add your flour and your chocolate chips and your pecans and your baking soda, or maybe you're using self-rising flour or whatever. And then you plop it out on a greased baking sheet and boom, because you're using the can of butter, the cannabinoids have already been released in the butter. And so the baking process just finishes it all off, and the next thing you know, you're just wandering around behind the little animals. Hey, and there's Steve.
Let me.
No there's... video.
I'm trying to turn it off. Just give me a second. Damn it.
Okay.
Let me stop you right there, Bob. The sense of accomplishment is you make your own flour.
Is that okay?
Basically, you're making your own flour.
Thank you.
That's
I'm in Tribeca.
Steve.
I just got off. Yep. I got off a really good bar with some friends of mine. So I'm
But
the flour is psychoactive, and that's what makes everything work. That's the magic in the cookie,
right?
You know?
Yeah. Hence, when you make the can of butter, you've just reduced a step. Yeah, Christopher.
Yep.
That butter would be so good with like some crab legs, like a couple pounds of crab legs.
Oh. Yeah, because I happen to know the butter was clarified before it was, before the you know the ground up was heated up.
The more crab legs, the higher you'd float too, man.
Hey, do we have a new person here on the call, guys?
Yeah, Steve's with us.
Bring him in. Steve, yeah, what's going on, man?
I'm down in Tribeca. I had to be here on the Horniversary. I had a friend of mine who I haven't seen in 20 years come into town, and we just went to a really good bar, and I had four orders of chartreuse. I don't know if you guys know what chartreuse is. We can
get over to Mike Katz.
Stop. No, stop, Joe. Just let it go.
Wait, what?
Let it go.
Okay. Do you know what chartreuse is, Bob?
Oh, yes.
Did I ever tell you what I know what chartreuse is? Did I ever tell you the story?
No.
Do cats like it?
Stop.
You guys going to stop? I have a very good friend of mine. I have a good friend of mine who was a monk who spent 7 years in the Grand Chartreuse Monastery, and he was the head distiller of the liqueur. So,
oh wow,
I know. Yes, and he's also a Zen sensei. So he was a priest here in the archdiocese, in addition to being a Zen sensei.
Mm, cool.
Oh, that's too cool.
So, yeah, he's really cool. He's a good guy, and he's gay. So what the hell? I just had to join because I had to be here for the Horniversary because the Horn's done so much for me. So had to come in. And plus, you know what, guys and gals, I needed some goodness after all the shit that we're going through right now and what I've gone through. And I don't know, y'all are such good people, and I just needed to get some good shit. So
it's a scary time, Steve.
We love you too, Steve. Yeah.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
It's more than scary times. It's I don't even know what to say. It's,
well, the Constitution is in jeopardy.
Yeah.
You know what, Bob? It's funny you say it because I get a lot of people like, oh, well, I don't think we should impeach. I think we should just wait till the next election. And you know, my usual response is, okay, then why don't we just get rid of the Constitution? That's fine. You want to deal with elections? That's fine.
Just get rid of our law.
Just get rid of the Constitution. Just get rid of the
impeachment. Forget about the election. Elections from election, you know?
Yeah, we can have elections.
Who
we
needs
don't
election?
Need a Constitution. But we don't need a Constitution to do that.
We've had three phony elections since 2000. We had 2000, we had 2004, we had 2016. All of them stolen.
You're right, Chris.
I mean, this is some shit here, folks.
And you know what? If our side was really any good at this, we'd be paying attention to little statistics like this. I heard it earlier today. In Michigan, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, obvious crucial states, while support for impeachment and removal is up around 55% nationally, it is still sub-majority in those three states. So, you know, we need somebody like, say, a Tom Steyer to quit throwing his money down the presidential campaign rat hole. Exactly. And instead run some specific targeted ads. Yeah. You know,
yep.
Hello, Wisconsin. Hello, Michigan. Hello, Pennsylvania. He's a criminal. He needs to be removed. Here's why.
Yeah, get your head out of the dairy cow's ass. Wake
well,
up.
He did some of that. That was his first thing.
He did it on a national basis. But what you would do is you would hire somebody that sounds like, you know, you'd hire a real live, honest to God Wisconsinian. You know, maybe hire Flavio. Or any of my buddies in the Northwoods, and you'd hire some real live Pennsylvanians, maybe a couple, one with a Pittsburgh accent, one with a Philly accent, and one with an accent from that middle part of the state that's Alabama.
Hell, get Todd.
And well, he could do the eastern side, yeah. And I know just the guy to do the western side too. And then you do the same thing with Michigan.
Can you contact Spike?
Yeah, Spike could be good. But you gotta. I don't know why it's. I don't know why the issue is still underwater in those three states.
Makes no sense.
His popularity is not that high in those states.
Terrible,
is my understanding. He's underwater. Like below 50.
Yes, he's underwater.
So why are they reluctant to remove him in those states? Doesn't make sense.
The only thing I can guess is that you've got some seriously fucked up conservative newspapers and the usual suspects, shit ton of rotten ass right wing radio.
Yeah, I don't know how badly the Koch brothers poisoned Pennsylvania and Michigan, but oh my God, with Walker Stan, I mean, the Koch brothers, their fingerprints are all over Wisconsin. They completely, they poisoned the whole fucking state. Terribly.
Yeah.
And obviously they kicked Walker's ass out because he was such a nincompoop.
But you've still got a shit-eating legislature up there. What's his name? Robin Voss?
Yeah.
Look how popular he still is in West Virginia and Georgistan. I mean, it's disgusting. He's probably got an 80% approval rating here.
Which makes it all the more interesting that Joe Manchin didn't sign off on Precious Lindsey's little... we hate impeachment, we love Trump resolution in the Senate. I was kind of shocked by that.
What was the vote on that? Did they take a vote?
Well, the whole thing is he couldn't get 100% co-sponsorship from his own caucus.
They couldn't get a quorum then?
Oh no, it wasn't about a quorum. It was just when he was, you know, trying to gin up support, there were seven Republicans who wanted nothing to do with it, plus Joe Manchin. And everybody figured Joe would be a lock.
Yeah.
You know what I think?
What?
I think we need to get some real class consciousness here and realize that Tom Steyer is part of the billionaire class, and that under no circumstance will he ever be on our side. And we need to roll out the either literal or political or cyber guillotine, chop his head off, and realize that he's not ever going to help us and do it for ourselves. That's what we need to realize. Class consciousness.
Would you say the same thing about Andrew Yang?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you think it's that drastic, Steve?
Yes.
I mean, Tom Steyer doesn't seem like that bad of a dude, you know?
He's a climate change
guy. He's a billionaire.
I mean, that's his thing.
He's a billionaire. There's a line.
He made some money. I mean, it doesn't mean he's evil.
He's a one-issue guy.
There's a line. And if they're not willing to betray their class like Roosevelt did, to hell with them.
I agree.
Is he really a climate change denier? I didn't know that.
Yeah. No, I didn't say that.
I mean,
but Steyer has been out.
I didn't say that. I said if he's not willing to be a class denier, traitor like Roosevelt was, then forget it.
I agree. I think
Steyer has been out for over a year. He's a one-trick pony.
He's a one-trick pony, is what I was trying to say. Climate is his thing.
Flag waver. I'm just saying he's been preaching this for over a year now.
I actually enjoyed what he had to say at the last pageant. I thought he made some really good points that were better than a lot of the other Democrats made, like Tulsi supposedly and some of those other folks.
Tulsi who pulled the rubber mask off today.
Yeah.
I didn't hear about that. What happened, Bob?
Well, she had only raised $11 in support of her reelection campaign to the Congress from Hawaii. She announced today that no, she will not run, and she will not run for her reelection to her congressional seat, and instead she will focus on her run for the presidency.
She really raised $11 for the Congress reelection?
I don't know. That might have been an exaggeration. Okay. But...
I'm petrified she's going to run third party.
No, that's Tulsi Gabbard, isn't it?
I don't think she's going to get much support.
You talk about putting a knife in the
Jill Stein didn't get
2%.
But I know, it was enough.
She's not even going to approach Stein.
That's right. It's enough.
She's not going to approach what Stein got, I don't think.
Hopefully the Hawaiian voters won't let her get that far.
Well, the thing is, we have to make it so that it's not even close, so it can't be stolen again, the election. That's the thing. The Democrats have to, you know, Republicans only have to win by one vote. The Democrats have to win by, you know, 5 million votes to avoid it getting stolen, you know? So right. That's what we got to do.
You know? Do you guys think any of the Three Stooges, Sanford or Walsh or Weld, are going to run third party?
No.
You don't think they got the balls to do that?
Weld ran third party as the running mate in the Libertarian Party in 2016. It didn't make much of a dent.
Yeah. What is Aleppo?
Yeah, there you go. Right.
Well, and the question is, Johnson, did he take more votes away from Hillary or Trump? I don't really know.
Probably Trump.
You think?
Yeah, you know, typically the right wing parties take votes away from more right wing candidates take votes away from the right wing more than the Democrat. And the left to center take away votes from the Democratic candidate usually.
That does make sense, but I don't think he had any kind of impact on the state races like Stein did in Michigan,
right?
Wisconsin.
And Randy and PA points out, it wasn't close the last time. Hillary won by 3 million votes.
Mm-hmm.
She got more votes in the last election mm-hmm. than any Democrat that's ever run for president, with the exception of Barack Obama.
Mm.
And they still managed to steal it.
Yeah, Bob, I heard that on Malloy. Malloy said that Hillary got the most votes of any Democratic president contender. And I don't think that's true. I think 2008, Barack got the most.
I think you're probably right, Chris.
Than anyone ever.
Yeah, that's what I said. Numbers. She got more votes than any other Democratic candidate for president, short of Barack Obama.
Yeah, you were right. Malloy was wrong the other night when he said on his show. He said Hillary got the most ever, which I think is definitely wrong.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I don't think
so. It was Barack.
Fortunately, thanks to the interweb tubes, some member of the Horn ad hoc research department can sort that out. Probably in the next 23 minutes.
There you go.
So where are we going to be in 18 months from now? Are we going to be all just pissed off because?
Well, that's what I was talking about last night.
That's
what I was talking about last night in terms of it being the anniversary last night. God willing, the crick don't rise. A year from now, we're going to be 10 days away from a presidential election, and this entire country may very well be vibrating like a struck 440A tuning fork.
No doubt.
It's
very possible this orange monster could win again.
Just by way of example, dig this. It turns out that Eminem, and, you know, he is who he is, and he does what he does, and apparently he does it very well. Not my cup of tea. He recently got a visit from the humorless dudes in the black suits with the skinny black ties. And they wanted to know why he'd been saying ugly, dangerous things about Prince Iwanka, my daddy Trump. And it was from not the latest album he's released, but the one before that. Well, the backstory to that turned out to be that the album came out and some enterprising little asshole at TMZ listened to it, read the lyric sheet or whatever. I don't know. They still do those. And then dropped the dime to the Secret Service to ask them if they had an opinion on Eminem's threatening violent lyrics relative to Princess Iwanka, my daddy Trump. At the same time reporting, and then the Secret Service said, a helpful citizen directed our attention to blah, blah, blah. So BuzzFeed then filed a Freedom of Information Act request to the Secret Service and discovered everything that I have just mentioned to you. Okay. And yeah, the Secret Service shook down Eminem.
Wow. For writing the song.
Now, compare that by extension, or by contrast, compare that to the clips that I've played on this program of all of these white evangelical preachers and, well, Jesse Lee Peterson and E.W. Jackson, too, who have engaged in stochastic terrorism, hoping to weaponize someone to start squeezing off a few rounds as a means of trying to cut the legs out from under the idea of holding a president accountable for his high crimes and misdemeanors. I haven't seen any stories about the Secret Service visiting Rick Wiles or E.W. Jackson or Jesse Lee Peterson or Jim Baker or Mark Taylor, the firefighter prophet, or that one little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby who called for Trump supporters to kill cops.
Yeah, the Pokemon pastor Wiles. I mean, his rant the other day, I mean, that was serious shit. That was a call to arms.
It was
serious stochastic terrorism. Yeah, Pokemon pastor.
That's very good. And so there's a double standard that exists, and meanwhile, Mark Zuckerberg can't answer straight up in questioning from any of the Democrats in Congress just exactly what he plans to do about the filthy lies that are going to be all over Facebook, if they're not already, and they are, in support of Donald Trump and attacking whomever and all of the whomevers of the Democratic candidate field.
I got to say, AOC on the last word last night with Lawrence. Oh man, was she good! If you get a chance, get the video off YouTube. Watch it.
I will, Sparky. Yeah, she's been on point, big time.
Oh yeah.
She took Zuck's.
They showed a couple clips from that testimony.
Yeah, she took. Well, I mean,
can I just say something?
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
You know, I hear what you guys are saying, and I love what you guys are saying, but I am so sick of getting bogged down in the law, and I know this sounds weird, the law and the stochastic this and stochastic that. They don't play by those rules. And the only way we're going to win, at least now, is to not play by those rules. And to not worry about the fact that these people visited Eminem, and until we start getting in their face and being just as nasty as they are, we're going to continue to play by the rules and we're going to continue to lose.
Problem is we can't send Secret Service agents to, to
that's
the
fine.
Preachers
that's
to
fine.
Control the
that's
the
fine. Then you know
branch,
what we do? Then you know what we do? Then we pick it. We get out in front of these people and start calling them what they are. I got to figure out where he is, but I'm getting ready to go picket in front of people like Hannity and call him the supporter of pedophilia. And why do I say that? It's because he's Mr. Hyper Catholic and supports the church. He supports pedophilia. Call him a supporter of pedophilia.
Well, and
get yourself on the news.
And on top of that, he's a supporter of a rapist. Donald Trump, credibly accused.
Yeah.
We did such an excellent job of taking down Al Franken for touching a woman's waist or for doing a stupid photo that didn't touch anybody anywhere. But oddly enough, the people who did that have yet to hold up a sign in a picket outside of the White House.
Yeah, what's the new book that just came out? About and Pacman was talking about today on his show, and there's a book coming out that's out now, I think, of 25 more women who have you know, that we live. Well,
yeah, and the woman and the woman who says that Trump raped her when she was on The Apprentice.
Eugene Carroll. No.
Summer Vervos.
Summer
Vervos.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. Her lawyer recently announced that he can corroborate. He has got corroborating evidence putting Trump where they say Trump was when he did that to her. And that would be California.
Limitations on that, right? Is there any statute of limitations on rape?
Nope. Not on a state charge, I don't think.
Right. And Steve, I said this a little bit last night on the porch, where we got to get ads out there, and this goes to what you guys were talking about with Steyer. Put the money, allocate the money for the best bang for your buck as far from a resource standpoint. And we have to get ads out there tying Trump to Epstein and Roy Moore and that asshole in Texas and Duncan Hunter and all of them, all of these miscreants.
Yeah, just make a bouquet of albatrosses and hang them around his neck.
Every single Republican that's ever cheated on his wife or cheated on their taxes or cheated, well, they all cheat. So and we've got to pepper the airwaves big time. And you know what? If there's only a little tiny 0.001% truth to that ad, I don't give a fucking shit, because they continue to lie every single cycle. Going back to Willie Horton, going way back.
You know what, Steve, you and Billable Rick will especially enjoy this. The tweet that Nitwit Nero sent out earlier today: my lawyers should sue Shifty Schiff and the Democrats for fraud. I read that and I thought, you do that, dumbass.
Yeah, go ahead, sure.
And you know what the Democrats' response should have been?
Discovery.
Yeah.
You know what the Democrats' response should have been? Great. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead.
We're ready.
We're
waiting. We'll accept service. This is going to be fun.
Take your best shot. We'll even accept service. Make it easy for you.
It's been a long time since I studied that stuff. But doesn't fraud have to be pled with specificity?
Yes. Yeah. Rule 8.
Mm-hmm.
But regardless, again, Bob, you're playing by rules. Forget about the rules. Yeah. Rules don't matter. And you know what? And frankly, and I know this sounds very Machiavellian, and I've grown into an ends justify the means person.
Yeah, sounds like.
Yep. I don't give a shit. I don't care. I won't lie. That's the only thing I won't do. Beyond that, innuendo, backhanded stuff, backroom stuff. I don't care.
Cattail.
Yeah, I don't care. We are dealing with what you don't defeat criminals by acting lawfully.
You got to bring a gun to a knife fight. You can't just bring your pea shooter, you know.
A bazooka to a bazooka fight.
Right.
Hey, speaking of which, did you hear this umpire?
Yeah, we covered that one. Yeah. What, last night, I think. Yeah. Now he's sorry.
But he's still an umpire. That's the important thing.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Why do we care? He's not going to do anything. Who the hell is he?
Because he shouldn't be an umpire anymore.
Great. He shouldn't be an umpire.
He should get a visit from the guys in the white suits or the black suits or whatever.
Yeah, right. And how does that help us to even care about that?
Well, I guess it makes us feel better, Steve.
Yeah, it makes us feel better.
To know that guy's not out there anymore, umpire. That's all.
Great. Cool. Meanwhile, Trump is still president.
It sets a precedent. You know, I'm seriously.
Odds are, I mean, I don't know how you get around the rules. You know, the Republicans are having a conniption now over Democrats running taking this investigatory testimony the same way Republicans did. I don't know how you get around that. I do. I wish that we had a few more people, and I think maybe this is what you're sort of moving towards, Steve. You want to fight fire with fire. You want people to fight, push back against these dumb bastards with all the ferocity that Nitwit Nero uses. In other words, you know.
Oh no, no, more.
Yeah,
I don't want to fight fire with fire. I want to fight fire with a nuclear weapon.
Hey, Steve, how about we start with Corey Lewandowski going to jail? Put the fucker in jail. I don't care.
What does it matter if he's in jail? How does that help us?
It's a start. It's a start. We have to start somewhere.
What has Corey done lately?
Well, he did enough in his testimony. Call him back, subpoena him again. For what and let him go on that diatribe, the same diatribe, and then you put him in chains and you put him down in the basement.
Oh, this was about a month ago. I forgot about this. There have been so many things going on.
Yeah, that's smart assery, but
get some teeth. Get some teeth. I mean, you know, I know, Steve, there are rules, right? But we have not, the Democrats have not used the power that they're capable of, that they have in hand.
Yeah.
To their full capabilities, and it's time. Bill Barr, build that
where's jail? Our Brooks Brothers Brigade?
Bill Barr,
to build that jail in the basement of the House Rep.
Who is coming?
What?
The public testimony is coming.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
When?
In the next, it'll start next month. Sometime. Yeah. And good. And the, you know, they good. Say, gosh, we'd like to be done with all of this before Christmas. Realistically, no, it's gonna move into the new year, and they're gonna beat on him and beat on him and beat on him and stoke the stroke.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, this is a direct message for Billable Rick, courtesy of Lady B. You'll be fine. Smoke some Kush with a little Keef or hash sprinkled on there, and listen to some Steely Dan. For a few hours, you won't give a fuck. And and Lady B adds, they call Alabama the Crimson Tide, Bob. Call me Deaconess Blues.
Oh, yeah. I love that. Thank you, Lady B. As it turns out, I happen to have a strain called Hindu Kush, and it's definitely an in-the-couch type of variety, let's say. So.
Yep.
Thank you, Lady B.
It's an evening. It's an evening repast.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That sounds like fun.
Well, I'm drinking some Bowie beer, Bowie from Astoria, which is right up the road from where I'm at.
Is it B O O E Y for Halloween?
No, it's B U O Y, Bowie.
Oh, like the yeah, in Bowie. The water.
Boy, yeah. Bowie.
Is that how you pronounce it?
Bowie.
Yeah. Bowie.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you got it.
Well, it's wonderful.
I thought because it was Halloween, it was B O O E Y. Because I'm just funny that way.
It's okay.
It's so, very good. Wonderful IPA.
So who all's going to wear a costume? I am. I'm going to wear a costume to Tracy's party, even though I don't have a stinking T-shirt. So I'm just going to wear a costume. I got a T-shirt.
Can you tell us what you're going to wear?
A stinking T-shirt.
Not a Halloween themed one. I could wear my Christmas sweater a little bit early, but that might piss people off.
God. That'd be hot.
Andy,
just wear a T-shirt and get a pack of cigarettes.
Oh, there you go. That would work.
There.
And just
easy.
Gash your hair back. Right. Yeah.
That would work. Okay. Okay.
And then just walk around saying dude. Ball, ball, ball.
You could go as the dude, Rick.
The dude, there you go.
No,
that's
like
what I'm doing. I've got my dude sweater now.
I look more like the dude than anybody.
Oh yeah, you do.
You do.
You need the sweater, but yeah. I can't see you wearing it in 89 degrees. That sucker's heavy and hot.
Yeah, I don't think so. Well, it's gonna be warm.
Like that.
It's gonna be definitely into the 90s tomorrow in LA. It was. 97 here in Inland Orange County. It was probably 95 in LA. I'm guessing. I'm not sure. So, oh, the Valley. It was every bit as hot as Inland Orange County. So,
yeah. maybe we'll get some relief by Thanksgiving, Rick.
Let's hope so. You know.
And then we only got like 2 months of winter, and then spring comes,
and then pretty soon it's back to summer.
Hey, Rick, how bad are the Bears going to get their ass kicked this week?
Who are they playing?
I'm trying to think.
Is it Minnesota?
I don't remember. I was going with San Diego. No, well, not San Diego. Los Angeles now. The Chargers.
They're going to take the Chargers.
Yeah, they'll beat the Chargers.
Having a bad year.
I hope so.
It's not
good in Bears land. Things are very bad in Bears land.
Is it a home game, or are they playing at San Diego, or L.A. rather?
Chicago.
It's a 10 a.m. start, so it's got to be in Salt
Lake. Of course, that did not help the Saints at all.
What?
It did not help them against the Saints at all.
Oh, my God.
I was pissed off by the end of that game.
Pure ass with them.
I was pissed off by the end of that game because, I only saw the bonus coverage, like, after they'd already, they were down, 36-10 or whatever?
Yeah.
And they started coming back. They got a touchdown to make it 36-18. Then they recovered an onside kick, and they went in for another score. And then they did another onside kick, which I thought was a fumble recovery. I think it was a bad call. They should have gotten the ball back and had a chance to at least, make it a more respectable score, like instead of 11 points, maybe 3 or 4 points, But, hey, whatever.
It was an old-fashioned ass-whipping, man.
Yeah.
And both sides of the ball, the lines look terrible.
Now. No, yeah. Old-fashioned ass-whipping is what happened to the Mountaineers last Saturday.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Who'd they play, Oklahoma?
Yeah.
How bad was it?
Oh, Jesus. Jalen Hurts looked like just hand him the Heisman. We made him look that way.
Yeah, but they turned over the schooner thing.
Yeah, OU did wreck the Sooner schooner.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, I did see that. Everybody came tumbling off of it.
Yeah, they lost it in the turn.
Hey, Bob.
Man.
Yes, Steve.
Did you see Did you see TTUN against Penn State?
No.
You know what I mean by TTUN?
Oh, that team. Yes, that team up north. Yes.
Yes, sir. They got their butt handed to
them. Yeah, that was an ass handing too. I don't see.
Well, Michigan came back.
And By the way, Steve, I did see where I saw a headline earlier this week. Jim Harbaugh considering a return to pro coaching.
Why? You know what that really means is University of Michigan is ready to fire Jim Harbaugh. That's what that really means.
Yeah,
you can go anywhere else you want, but you can't stay here.
Yeah, you can't stay here.
Here's an apple and a road map.
He's set $8 million a year. I mean, he's been set for a while.
He sucks ass. That's all there is to it. And
he does.
And I'll tell you what, Bob, whatever you say about my Buckeyes, I think they're going to actually win out. And I think they're going to end up being probably one or two. I think it's going to be Alabama and Ohio State are going to be the two teams to beat.
Clemson looks very mortal.
Shaky. Yeah.
Mortal.
They lost. They won by 1 point against.
Yeah. But here's what scares me about Bama. When Tua Tagovailoa went down with a high ankle sprain, which it was his second one, that means he's he's kind of vulnerable in that ankle. That did not make me feel good, and I think they're a bye this week, so they're hoping to rehab him up and have him at full strength for LSU, and that's that right there is going to be. I got a feeling that's going to be a heavyweight punch fest.
No doubt.
I'm going to agree with you.
Game of the year.
You know what? And here's what I don't like. What I really don't like about college football is you really don't have any idea how good any team is because everybody plays within their own conference. So it's hard to actually assess who's really good and who's really not good.
Only a few of the early season games, like that Auburn-Oregon game, that was pretty telling, right?
Well, I frankly think here's what I'm everyone knows I'm very pro Ohio State, but the one thing I really notice about Ohio State this year is typically teams play to the level of their opponent, whereas Ohio State has played at the same level. Against every – they have not played to the level of their opponent. If their opponent's been good, they've played to that level. If the opponent's not bad – if the opponent's not so good, they still play to their level. So they're blowing everybody out.
You know, Northwestern usually gives them a tough game
We'll see next time.
Ass kicked. Yeah.
We'll see this week. We'll see this week when they play Wisconsin.
Oh, Wisconsin. Oh, that'll be a tough game.
Oh, Wisconsin last week. Oh, Wisconsin. Oh, Jesus.
What did they do last week?
They got their butt handed to them. They got lost to Illinois.
Well, not exactly. They lost on a last second field goal.
On the last second, yeah.
But they should have. They should have.
It should never have been there.
It should have been a snooze fest.
Yep. Illinois. Since when does Illinois win?
Yeah.
One minute warning, Bob.
That probably saved Lovey Smith's job.
Oh, well, maybe it did.
You're right.
Yeah. No, he's going to go to Michigan.
Oh God.
Never know, Joe. Hey, Joe, if I'm around, you gonna shoot pool tonight?
Yep, call me.
Sounds good, man.
All right, listen, you guys have to come back next week and give a party report, okay?
Definitely. Yeah.
Pictures.
Yeah, and y'all take pictures. Tracy, take pictures, because remember, the rest of us are living vicariously through you.
The pressure's too much for us, Bob. I don't know how we can handle it. We will, though.
Because you're just that good. All right. Well,
by the way, I just want to.
Yeah, go ahead, Steve.
I just want to say happy Horniversary, and thank you, Bob, for what you brought together here. I really appreciate it. I know for me, I really appreciate it for all the reasons and more of the stuff that I've emailed you, etc.
Cowbell for Bob.
That's huge, Bob.
Yeah, it's not really cowbell material, but yeah, thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. But
actually,
really,
Liberty Bell for Bob.
Bottom line, though, is all the credit goes to the community, because this would have been dried up and blown away a long time ago if y'all didn't make it possible to stay on.
But it was your idea, Bob.
And you keep us sane, Bob. Everybody in this place, everybody in the community keeps each other sane, and it's trying times.
And we've made friends as well, Bob. That's another way to look at it.
And that's what makes it a community as opposed to an audience. I always hated the idea of having an audience.
I'm a traveling correspondent.
That's why the back and forth, the conversation, is so critically important. So anyway, I'm out of here. It's been a great, we've had some interesting front porch conversations in the past, but this one probably goes into the top 10. you guys were awesome. I'm sorry Jim got his feelings hurt. No one was trying to do that. But at any rate, thank you, all of you, for keeping the program on the air. Thank you for participating however you choose to do. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Steve and Sparky in the chat room. Thank you to Sparky in the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable in the Old Holler Tree we sublet from the Keebler Elves. Good luck with the power outage. We'll look for you on Monday. If you're not there, we'll understand. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. 20 years this year at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. And son, we're working on it. We love you. Later, y'all. Have a great weekend.